ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीताङ्गं माम् उद्धर भवार्णवान्। श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव। भवे भवे यदा भक्तिपादयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् यस्य सर्ववाप प्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमन तम् नमामि हरिम् वरम्। जन्माद्यस्य यदोऽन्वयादितरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यल्सूरयम् तेजो वार्यमृतम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहगम् सत्यम् वरम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित गैदवोत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम् वा वरेश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः दक्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् बलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतम् विमद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमः। यम् प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मैदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदाम् तमन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम्। नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भताम् मुरारे मधुरीम् न कनिगापि काविगापि। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवम् गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणि श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः। वन्दे नन्दम् व्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासाम् हरिगतोल्गीतम् पुनादिभुवनत्रयम् गोपी चरणारविन्द परमाणवे नमः। पीताम्बरम् गरविराजितचक्रशङ्गम् कौमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालयेशमनिशम् हृदि भावयामि। कोमलम् कूजयन् वेणुम् श्यामलोऽयम् कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरम् ब्रह्म भासदाम्बुरदो मम मूगम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयति गिरिम् यल्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्तन्वन्ति दिव्यैः सवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वा मनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दाय तवत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये मृतदुहे नमः। दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् सुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसच्चाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। श्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रत जला गान्धार नीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल അശ്വത്ഥാമ വികർണഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശരീരവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാസംബോധനാബോധിതം ജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുങ്കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്നി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹം ജ്ഞാനാവസ്ഥിത സദ്ഗതേന മനസാ വശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. While doing every karma, karma means Vaidika karma, referring to, not our material karma, Vaidika karma also, one has to know that what the goal is. Ultimate goal is to get back to Krishna or to realize the truth, what it is. Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam that our whole life in this world is running on misunderstanding about the truth. Isn't it? We have been separated from the truth for so long. And in this illusion, what Krishna calls it as Suptasya Vishayaloka Dhyayatova Manoratha. That dream world, what we are passing through here. In the night, the dream. In the day, Manoratham, which is another dream. Manoratham is also a dream. Suptasya Vishayaloka Dhyayatova Manoratham. And this lokam, both of these lokam, which one? The dream world as well as this daydream, both is Vishayan lokam, is a world of sense gratification. Nothing else. Suptasya Vishayan loko dhyayadova manoyratha. Nanalmagattu adbhila tada bhedalmadir guni. You will find Krishna says a lot of things like this. That his point is, Krishna's point is, whole life is running on misunderstanding. Whole life is on misunderstanding. Till we come out of this, it is misunderstanding only. It is not that done deliberately, that avidya inside, which is the misunderstanding, that is causing all the problems. So we were saying yesterday that indriya sukham, this sense gratification, is one stage of the beginning of spiritual life to get rid of first. There itself is a big battle to get out of all these desires from inside and to become free from that, to come out of that. Desires to leave us once for all. So that once you have lost a taste for it, that it is not going to get me anywhere at the end, that realization has to come. And then attraction for all kinds of sense gratification goes away from inside. So, in Vedam, there is no discussion about Indriya Sukham, sense gratification. But then what has happened is that this Vedam, we couldn't say that it is only for us, right? So knowledge means that gives us the knowledge of the soul. You can imagine we live in a world where there is no knowledge of the soul. And it is through that world that we are trying to understand all the subtleties of Krishna consciousness or spiritual life. While we ourselves are in a world where who don't accept the existence of the soul. Right, and this knowledge is not only for the Brahmana or only for the Shudra, it's for everybody. This knowledge is for everybody, right? So, in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna will say this, karmam is also like that. For, so, Sri Shudramcha Manada, it says, that generally, it is not Vedam's way of separating people. Sri Shudramcha Manada. But sometimes it will say like this, specifically for certain people, these instructions are. Like, Tantra Shastram, where it will specifically say how the worship should be for the women, for the Shudras and all. That's specifically spoken in the Tantra Shastram, right? But always Vedam will say that to do such things, certain purification is necessary for the mind. Otherwise, worship will not be effective. For example, you go into the deity room and you are worshipping the deity. If your frame of mind is not right, then that worship is not used at all. So, shuddhi, abhyantara shuddhi, internal purification is very important. So, that and that karma, what is required for that is what Prahlada is saying there. That's why he is saying you should start this early. Kaumara acharet prajnaha dharmam bhagavadaniha durlabham manusham janmam tadapya dhromarthadam. Famous instructions to his friends, he is saying this, right? So, dharmanushtanam, or following this dharmam bhagavata dharmam, from early days in life, if you start, it will remain as a vasana inside. If you start early, it will remain as a vasana. For example, from the father, mother, and from grandparents and things like that, if in the form of anushtanam it comes in the mind, then it becomes a vasana for the children. That's what happens. From the grandparents, parents, whoever is you are living with, of course in this modern world it is all nuclear families, isn't it? So, it's not happening though. But that is the benefit of the older system. That grandparents were engaged in spiritual activities, parents were engaged in spiritual activity. So the children will also easily take to it. They will think that is how the life is. There won't be any necessity to push them for doing anything. Whereas in the modern world, you have to push everything to get anything done. Is it not? So that, what happens is, when the grandparents and parents are busy in spiritual life, it becomes a vasana for the children. They develop, they know nothing else. They think this is how everybody lives, so they accept it without any hesitation. Right. So, in order that only the father and mother becomes absorbed in Krishna conscious activities, then only then the children will have that vasana. Right. So, it is easier if a child gets it as a janma vasana, with the birth itself. If a child gets it, it makes a lot easier. Right. So, and later on, it is no point in crying about it. It's nothing you can do. They didn't get it at the right time, right? So, that is why it is spoken when Prahlada said that. Kaumara acharet prajna. Kaumaram, child doesn't know anything. At that time, it benefits him very much by engaging that. So, in the same way, if the parents and the grandparents, if they hold their vasana balam, it is their vasana that makes the effect, right? Suppose their vasana is for dushkarma. Dushkarma means that, you know what the dushkarma means. Dushkarma means karma which is not authorized by the Vedam. That means if the mind is always thinking about making money, and that's what is working whole time busy with that, that vasana will go to the children also. That's the way it works. If father mother is always thinking about money and how to manipulate life in such a way that more wealth is necessary, that similar vasana will get into their mind as well. It has a strong impact like that. So, after the marriage, why I'm saying all these things is in this chapter, what we have spoken about, you will see there, he asked this question, who? Nimi. And Chamasa is saying this, that those who are not taking spiritual life, what will happen to them? That was his question, isn't it? So, in response to that, Chamasa is a bit heavy on those things, the way he has spoken. Sometimes it's not very palatable when you read, but that is the fact. So, he's saying here that, in the first instance, that when the man and woman is associating first time, after the marriage, and whatever depends on their thoughts and their emotions, accordingly, they will come into the child as well. Right? And there is proof for that. It's not that it's just something spoken like that. The sangalpam of the father, sangalpam of the mother, will have a very strong effect on the sankalpam of the child as well. Child as well. Just to give you an example, in Thrissur, right in the town center, there is that temple where the deity was installed by Parshuram, Mahadev's temple, right? Lord Shiva's one of the famous temples there. Many, many hundreds of years ago, one yogi came there. From somewhere he came. We don't know where he came from. And he was very advanced in the yoga shastram. He used to come and sit in front of Mahadeva on the side and used to be absorbed in meditation. He had a lot of sadhana, what he was doing regularly. People, them days was like that. They'll spend hours and hours at the temple. And yogis will travel from one temple to another temple, like that. He was very good looking and very attractive features he had. Through his yogi process, everything, and his spiritual activities, his appearance was very good. So, after some time, all the women who were having children in that area were all looking like him. All the women were, because everyday women come to the temple from all around. At that time, Thrissur was not a town like this. It was a small village. And there was Brahmaso Matam, Nadul Matam, all the different mutts were also there. And there were many nice families who were living there. And they were all, women were coming to this children, and they were looking at him, and they were going home, and they, naturally their mind was affected by that. And the children who were born were all looking at him. So naturally gossip started everywhere that this yogi is all bogus, he is having association with them, and that's why all the children are like this. This is gossip spread around everywhere. You have to remember, in those days society was very, very rigid. It's not like today. Today's society is different, isn't it? Them days it was very rigid. So, he wasn't like that. He was a very decent person. And he had no such nature in him. So, so he thought about this. He came to know that people are gossiping about him like this. People need something to gossip. When they get something, they'll catch on that. They'll spread it around. So this happened. So what he decided was, he made a bull, a very beautiful looking bull, and he installed that in the temple. Right in front of Mahadev there is one bull, which is up, Nandi is facing Mahadev, sitting right in front of him. He made another bull, you can still see there, while you enter the temple on the left hand side. A beautiful looking bull he made, and he installed it there. There were a lot of cows which were wandering around in the temple them days. Plenty of cows everywhere. They used to wander around there. And after some time, everybody noticed, all the cows were having babies, which all looked like this bull. That was his answer to that. Everybody were able to understand that the sankalpam inside of a person, what the mother had carried at that time, will come in the form of baby's features. What you call it as DNA or RNA, whatever, I don't know what that is. But it comes out like this. The sankalpam is so powerful. That's what he wanted to tell the world. The sankalpam inside will have a drastic influence on everything, on the form, the features of the mind, intelligence, vasanas, everything will depend on the sankalpam inside of the mother. In the past, what they used to do, especially among the highly reverential way, or the Brahmana families who were very absorbed in careful about the child birth, they used to carry the ghee. Brahmanas used to sit and carry the ghee in the hand and chant the Vedam for hours and hours, and then they will give it to the mother. And they knew that the ghee will go inside, through the ghee, the impact of this Vaidika Mantram will have it on the child. When they wanted children with very good intelligence, they have done this. And they had the effect also. The children were born with the very sharp intelligence, as well as the ability to learn the Shastram and things like that. So, important thing is this, that the power of that sankalpam inside, right? So, early days, it should be given. Later on, it's of no use. After 12, if you give any advice, it won't have much of an impact. It's all before 12, whatever they capture, that will remain with them, right? So, you can start from age of 2 or so, 2 to 12, in that age group, it works, right? Encourage them to chant the holy name, and and that was the system in the past, right? The mothers dragged the children to the temples. Mothers dragged the children to the temple, even though they didn't know anything about it. But they dragged inside, forced them to chant, and forced them to accept the charanamritam from the temple, tirtham. And whatever bad vasanas are there in the child, even by chance, it has entered inside, that they will force them to offer obeisances in the temple and make them to accept the prasadam, all for one reason only, to purify inside. To purify inside. Remember, Uddhava said this, Toyoba bhukta sraghanda vasa alangara charchida uchishta bhojino vasa tomaya jayamahi. The proof is Uddhava. Uddhava is saying that I have taken your prasadam all my life, and therefore I have no fear of maya, he said. That strong faith inside has come from this. Toyoba bhukta sraghanda vasa alangara charchidaha uchishta. Krishna, whatever Krishna has eaten, the plates were given to Uddhava. Uddhava will take the remnants from that. Uddhava arranged with Rukmini Devi all the garlands and the clothes what Krishna has used. Uddhava will wear that every day. And the garlands. And everything is Krishna's prasadam. And Uddhava is saying, having taken like that, what chance is there for me to be frightened of maya? Uchishtava maya jayemahi. Maya doesn't bother me, he says. Maya doesn't bother me anymore. So to say that with confidence is difficult, isn't it? Maya doesn't bother me. To say that with full confidence is very difficult for anybody. And Uddhava is able to say this to Krishna, more than anyone else. To Krishna he is saying this. So you can imagine how much confidence he has got in the prasadam, in Krishna's prasadam. And that is how powerful it is, Krishna prasadam. That we minimize, unfortunately all this has gone from the society. They have just become everything a karmam-like thing, without understanding the sankalpam behind it. Krishna's prasadam's power is so high that if it is properly understood and followed, it has its impact on us in our life all the way through. And many in the past devotees have only taken prasadam for when they got ill. They didn't go to pharmacist and the doctors. This is a new system. Or going to, very rarely they even went to Ayurvedic people. Even that was rare. Most of the issues, problems with the health, were sorted out through the prasadam. Either they will tell you to take the oil that has been massaged on the deity's form, or some ashes from the deity, or some offered sugar or something like that. In fact, for diabetic patients, the medicine was the sugar offered to Krishna. And that was, and the devotees used to, with full confidence, they used to take it. And most of the illnesses were cured in that way. Now we have become, every house is a hospital-like, isn't it? Every house there is so much medicine and so much treatment all the time going on. So many doctor's appointments. It's a regular pharmacy and hospital running inside the house. This didn't exist like that before. And many medicines were also available in the compound, which were able to pull out and treat. And mothers and grandmothers were experts in that. The expertise they had, how to treat the children with all their illnesses, they survived that way. It's a very complicated life what we lead today. You have to fight against. And in the middle of all this, you're trying to get some spiritual understanding of life, which is hard. So, the power of this naivedyam, what is offered to Krishna, is that while designing the temples itself, all these are taken into account. For example, the temples, you remember the concept of temple construction, the concept itself is from Bhagavad Gita. Kshetrajnam chabhimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. That is the principle of the temple. Sarvakshetreshu Bharata. In all the Kshetram, Kshetram is temple. This is the temple body. In there also Krishna is present there. And it is me who is present. So it is on that concept the temples have been built. Kshetrajna. Krishna is Kshetrajna. Kshetrajnam Jabimam Vidhi Sarvakshetreshu Bharata. Bhagavad Gita says like that. So in there, the temple design, traditionally, places are decided for what purpose inside the temple. For example, where the garlands are made, where prasadam is prepared, where offering is prepared. There is a specific place for that in the temple. Generally, in the southeast side of the deity. Deity faces always to the east. Where the sun rises. Deity's direction is always facing the east. And this is all Vaidigam. I'm not talking about the Bhagavata Dharmam side. It's the Vaidigam side. So, deity faces the east. If you look at all the historic, traditionally old temples, you'll find the deity is facing the east. And then, southeast of the temple, deity, is the place where the prasadam is. Bhoga is cooked and prepared everything there before making the offering. And from there it is brought into the deity room. So, the thing was that if you have cooked prasadam in that place, it is already offered. That's the understanding. You don't even have to bring it in to the deity and offer it there separately. Once you have cooked in that room, which is meant for preparing the prasadam, it's already supposed to be prasadam. It's already accepted. That is how the temples are. That is the concept in the temple design, right? So, if it is like that, what to talk about if you have offered it? Even if you have kept it there, prepared in that room, it's considered to be prasadam. But suppose you have brought it in and offered it, it is still considered to be much more as prasadam, right? So, obviously, these are all related to the rules of the temple, temple construction, right? So, so everything that has been offered to Krishna will purify us, purify our mind, purify our body, right? And yagam, homam, all these things. Ganapati has a place in the temple, in a particular corner of the temple. So, like this, there are calculations behind it, all these things, right? So, yagam, homam, yajnam, all these things, if after performing that, if the results hasn't materialized, then it is very difficult, right? Similarly, acquiring knowledge also of the self, all these things are whether it is yagam, yajnam, homam or knowledge of the self, all these things, if it doesn't end in liberation of the person from the cycle of birth and death, it's of no use, isn't it? See, karmagandam in the Vedam is yagam, yajnam, homam, all these things. All those things in the Vedam plus the knowledge in the Vedam through the Upanishads, if all of that ultimately, if it is not helping us to get ourselves out of this cycle of changing the body, it's of no use. It's also become futile, isn't it? So, that is why he's saying here in the sixth verse, you see that? What Shamasa is saying there? Karmanya govida stabdha murkha panditamanina vadandi chadugan mota yaya madhyo giroil sugaha. In one verse, he summarized the whole thing. Karmanyago vidastabdha murkha panditamanina vadandi chadugan mota yaya madhva girolsuga. He is criticizing about this brahmana who are performing yagam, homam, yajnam and all, but without having this concept of getting out of the cycle of birth and death, liberation. That is not there. That's what he is saying here. Vadandi chadugan mota yaya madhva girolsuga. What he is saying here is that some brahmana in the past, they were very experts in yagam. They knew, they have studied Vedam, isn't it? So naturally, after studying Vedam for a long time, they become very experts in reciting the Vedam. And they know all the procedures of the yagam. and the kings were very kings rules time. Time this was, kings will spend a lot of money for yagam, and that was their main. You saw in the Bhagavatam, Prajina Varahis and Yudhishthira and others, so much money they spend on yagam, Ashwamedham and Rajasuyam and so many other things. Prajina Varahis got a famous because of this yagam, is it not? So Shamasamarshi is saying here about them. He says, they are very experts in that. But he is saying here, Karmani Agovida, they are Agovida, he is saying. Right? Because karmam, they know how to do it, but what is expected from that, they don't know. They have lost that understanding. All the karmam is for what purpose? Right? Because generally, you see, the cycle of karmam and the science of karmam is only discussed in the Vedam. In the modern world, where is the discussion about karmam? Nobody bothers, isn't it? Like, they don't bother about the soul, they don't bother about karmam either. And this is where we are battling with. So, all karmam generally is kamyam. Kamya karmam it is. Right? Kamyam means that there is something connected to it. Nobody does karmam without any purpose behind it. Right? So, almost all karmam is kamya karmam. Kamya karmam means expecting results. As soon as you have some expectation from a karmam, it is kamya karmam. Right? And they will never give you happiness. That's also there. Right? So, our brahmanas who are doing this yagam, they also, why they are performing this karmam, they don't know. They are just doing it because it becomes a routine thing for them. And even if you tell them about it, they won't understand. They won't take it very seriously. That is why he said there, stabdha. See that word? Stabdha. Murkha. Pandita manina. At the same time, they think we know everything. But they are missing this point. That's what he is saying here, right? Basically, what he is saying is that they are very proud, garva or hangaram inside, right? Stabdha. What they will say is that we know everything, right? What do you know? That's their attitude, yeah. And Krishna also mentions this later. If you look in the 29th chapter, you'll find this Krishna saying this. That dambham, verse 30, 29-30. Naidatvaya dambhiyaya nasigaya shathaya cha ashishrusha rabhaktaya durvinidaya diyadam. That verse. What Krishna is saying is, with all this knowledge, if there is no humility inside, to them, this knowledge should not be spoken. Ekadasha skandam. Nai tattvaya dambhigaya nastigaya shathaya cha ashushrushor abhaktaya durvinidaya diyatam. This should not be spoken to them. Krishna is saying this, right? So, knowledge about the soul should not be spoken to the brahmana who are so proud about their lineage and heritage and all that. This has built up like this. Everything in this world is like that. Nothing stays pure for very long. Maybe in Yudhishthira's time and Ambarisha's time, they were okay. But by the time, in the recent times also, they became very proud because of their knowledge of the Vedam. And Krishna is saying here, this should not be spoken to them, knowledge of the self, because they are proud within them. That is what he is referring to, this kind of people, brahmanas who have developed that pride inside, right? And you will see this in Narayaniyam also. Melpathur became very upset about this. Because in his time, 500 years ago, there was a lot of sacrifices going on. There was a lots of Brahmana families who were studying Vedam. And many, many Brahmana families were keeping children at home and teaching them Vedam. Them days there was no schools, you see. So they were not forced to send the children to school or anything. Children were naturally, especially from the Brahmana background, they were, first thing they will study is Vedam. So, rich families who could afford, they will keep 50, 60, 100 children at home and teach them Vedam. This was the custom. That was his time, Melpathur's time. So all his friends are from that background. So naturally, he knows them well, what they are like. They have all studied with him. Milpatur says to Krishna, don't make me one like them. This was his prayer. There's two famous verses in the Narayaniyam where he says this. And because they were making fun of Milpatur, saying that you got sick now, and there is no point in asking the deity to help you. Krishna is not going to help you. Because they had no faith in this. Their faith in the Vedam, their faith in the recitation of the Vedam, Yagam and everything, but they had no faith in Krishna's authority on all these things. So that's why deliberately you will find in that Narayaniyam two verses continuously blasting them heavily. Stri Shudra Tol Kathabi Shravana Virahido Asadamde Dayarha Tolpad Asanayadan Dijagula Janushan Handa Shojam Ashanjan Vrityartham Te Yajande Bahu Kadidamabi Tuam Anakarnayando Dutva Vidyabi Jate Kimina Vitatade Tadrishama Krithamam. He says, don't make me one like that. They are doing this vrityartham, for making a living in this world. Milpatur is making people who are making spiritual life for a living. Vrityartham te yajande. Bahu kadidam abhitvam anagarnayando druptva. And they will not listen even if you tell them about this. Therefore, the please do not make me one of them, he said. What they were telling Milpatur was, Papoyam, Milpatur says that they will do all sorts of sinful things. And they will make fun of us who are chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna, Rama, Govinda. Why are you chanting? What's the use? What are you going to get? You have to get good treatment, then only you will get cured from this. They used to speak to him like this, and it was hurting him. He is a devotee. He wants to be surrendered to Krishna. He wants Krishna's protection. And here, these brahmanas are telling him in this way. So he was naturally very hurt. You can imagine a devotee, in early days, if you are not protected, you can easily get disturbed over such effects. So that is why he said, Pavoyam Krishnarami Tagilapadinijam Guhidam Duscharitram. He's saying, I know their history, what they are like. Nirlajya Syasya Vajan Bahudara Kanime Yanime Vignidhani. That they don't have any lajja, no shame in doing certain things. Brada, and he is talking about his own brother even. Brada me Vandeshilo. Brother also told him like this. All due to this training in the Vedam. So you can imagine, they have all studied Vedam, but bhakti is not there. That was his complaint. So, Bradhame Vandishilo Nijagil Vishnu Mittam Budamste. What do? Whenever you engage in deity worship, they make fun. Nindandi Uchai Hasandi Toi Nihidaredim Tadrashama Kradamam. They insult you, they laugh at you when they see you worshipping Krishna and offering obeisances to Krishna while chanting the holy name of Krishna, taking Krishna's prasadam and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. They don't want to do any of these things. There are many like that. And that has effect it's on in their way, in their life also. They were all busy with Yagam and Homam and Yajnam and all other things in the Vedam, beautiful things in the Vedam, what is spoken. They think they understand the Vedam. So this has a problem all the time. So, so Milpatur said there, even if I can't serve you, he said, because he was ill. He's saying there, and even if I'm not able to chant the holy name, at least do not make me one among others who will speak insulting way, criticizing the devotees who are taking Krishna shelter. At least let that not habit come to me. That was his prayer. That's why those two verses in Narayaniyam became very popular, because of this. That it was a... You see, many brahmanas traditionally, you are going back to thousands of years, they were all yajna brahmana. Devotees are very few in that who will come to the process of deity worship, and because yajnam started before deity worship. Traditionally, Tridayugam was full of yajnam. Deity worship started in Dwabaram, is it not? So, therefore, you have to remember this also. Brahmana's general attraction is for yajnam, yagam, homam, things like that. Vedam is 80% of it is Yagam. Isn't it? Yagam and Yajnam. So from that, so they look upon deity worship and what is started in Dwapara Yugam, not so an advanced understanding of spiritual life. You have to go back into the history to look at all these things, where this is coming from. So you can see there that the traditional Brahmana and in their families for thousands of years, they followed this tradition of Yagam, Homam. Among them, some of them were devotees, but not all. But many well-known ones may not be devotees, but they had such a control over the society in conducting these sacrifices. And their authority was accepted because they knew the Veda. So, similarly, Melpathur said that, even if I'm not chanting, he said, even if I'm not chanting the holy name, at least don't make me one who is going to make fun of others who are chanting the holy name. Let that not happen to me. Then he said that, even if I cannot read Srimad Bhagavatam, those who are hearing Bhagavatam, let me not feel any insulting feeling towards them. Right? So, for their problem is, they studied the Vedam, and they are very proud of that, but at the same time, this karmam they are busy with, it will bind them. Karmagandam, if it is not properly done, right? So, and this is called bondage. Bondage through karmagandam. Bondage through karmagandam, right? And if you keep on doing this whole life, yagam after yagam after yagam, it will come to a stage finally that you will be bound to such an extent that you cannot untie the bondage to that extent, right? So, and at the same time, if you tell them to chant the holy name or to serve Krishna, they won't listen. That's how proud they are, right? Because they find it difficult to listen. They have studied the Vedam. And we are going and advising them something. How will they listen? When they are so educated in the Vedam, this will happen. So then we have studied the Vedam. We are performing yagam, sacrifices. Now we, without any knowledge, go and tell them that you should chant Hare Krishna. They are not going to listen to us, would you? Would they? You can understand that, where it's coming from. Right? That ahangaram inside. So, sometimes they openly ask this, what's the point in all this chanting, whole day and night chanting? What are you going to get out of this? Right? So, and where does it say like that in the Vedam, they will say. Where does it say in the Vedam to chant? And Sahasranam, thousand names, why you chant that, right? So, that's because they have not understood things, many ways. Why Sahasranam? Sahasranam, right, is that even very, Veda means a lot of karmam also, right? After all the karmam, and in karmam, there can be many faults. It's not that all the karma what you do is perfect. Many things can go wrong, right? So, in order to correct all that mistakes, what has happened in any Vaidika karma, generally Sahasranamam is chanted. That is how Bhishma given Sahasranamam to Yudhishthira. That after all the karma, if there is some, because in every karma there will be faults. Any yagam, homam, yajnam, some things can go wrong, definitely. Either you have not recited the mantram properly, ingredients may not be pure, impurities due to that, or the time you have performed were not proper, things like that, right? So, Sahasranamam, or thousand names of Vishnu, is chanted for this purpose, right? So, in every karma, whatever faults were happened in the karma, to remove that, Sahasranamam is recited, right? You will see this in the Bhagavatam itself. If you look into the Mahalmyam, you will find it. Mahalmyam, Bhagavatam Mahalmyam. If you look into the, when When did they chant this Sahasranamam, thousand names, right? Where he is saying here, Doshayo Prashamartham Cha. This is the sixth chapter in the Padmapuranam. Glorifications, 63rd verse. Sixth chapter, 63 verse. This is after the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Kumaras. Remember, four Kumaras spoken in Haridwaram. After that, Srinarada Maharshi came there to listen, and Uddhava, Prahlada, and Krishna himself came later in that Saptaham. That was how glorious it was, because four Kumaras were reciting, and the audience was Uddhava, Prahlada, and great rishis, and finally Krishna himself comes. So, even in that Sahasra, in that Saptaham of Srimad Bhagavatam, after the Saptaham was over, at the end it says, Doshayo Prashamartham Cha Padail Nama Sahasragam. It says, if any dosham, any faults have happened in the Saptaham, Padail Nama Sahasragam, thousand names of Vishnu must be chanted. Tena Syal Sabalam Sarvam Nastya Smal Adhigam Yadha. That faults can happen in everything, in every time. It can happen, right? Because it is not recited in the beginning. It is recited at the end, right? In the beginning, you recite Shuga Brahmarshi's Shuga Sarasvatam or Chalishlogi Bhagavatam. That's all in the beginning. Shuga Sarasvatam in the second canto, and Chalishlogi also. And at the end, Sahasranama, for this purpose, right? That the reason was that to remove all the faults in whatever you have done, right? For where can things go wrong? For example, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are talking about that. Whatever I have spoken, there are a lot of faults in that. Things I have still spoken without proper knowledge. Whatever I have spoken, if that's not what Shuga Brahmarshi has meant, then that's a fault, is it not? So that is for the speaker. For the listener, while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, suppose your mind was somewhere else, at home or at office, that's a fault. You are supposed to be fully focused in listening. But while listening, if you are thinking about prasadam or shopping or at home or anything like that, that is the fault of the listener. Fault of the speaker is this, that if your mind goes away somewhere else, or if I said something which is not in line with the shastram, it's my fault, or speaker's fault, whoever it is. Similarly, for the listener's fault is, if their mind is gone somewhere else while listening Bhagavatam, is absorbed in so many other things in this world, that's his fault. Right. So, this way, these are all faults. In order to wipe out all those faults, to recite Sahasranam. That is the system. Traditionally, people did all these things, but now nobody has time. They just leave it like that. So, you will notice that after offering obeisances and reciting prayers, everything, you offer and then you touch the steps to the temple deity and offer it on your head, and understand that the understanding is that you are actually touching the feet of the deity and putting it on your head, right? So, what is the sankalpam behind that? That when you touch these steps to the deity room, what actually it is that you are touching Krishna's feet and offering your respects to Krishna's feet. And that's what touching the steps means, right? So, and sometimes you will see, this is not possible today, certain things, right? People won't show their back to the deity. They will walk backwards, instead of walking back showing the deity, right? You will see this in the Mugundamala, in the prayers. Kulashekara Alvar's Mugundamala. He mentions there, Tol Bhritya Paricharaka Bhritya Bhritya Bhrityasya Bhritya Idimam Smara Loganatha. Seven times he has spoken there. It is that thing that these are spoken by a king. Imagine that. Kulashekara Alvar was a king, isn't it? So, his prayer is that you have appeared in this deity form in front of me for me to offer service to you. You are accepting my service, therefore you have come here, right? Due to my prayers you have come, and you are always taking care of me, and therefore I am offering my obeisances, saying this, you should accept me as your servant. And he walks back seven steps backwards, right? So, and that is how this started, walking back thing. Kulashekara Alvar's famous prayers. Tulbhritya Parijaraga Bhritya Bhritya Bhrityasya Bhritya Idimam Smara Loganatha. Then this is the, because Kulashekara Alvar was a king in the royal family in Travancore, in Thiruvananthapuram. Padmanabha Swami temple was owned by them. There are Chola kings who came and established that reign there, and they own Padmanabha Swami temple. And if you go into that temple, you will see Kulashekara Alvar Mandapam there, a special constructed space for him who wrote Mugundamala there. Imagine a king like that, who's a devotee and who had total faith in Krishna, like Ambarish and like many others. And they always believe that they are servants of Krishna. That is their understanding. This is how they are administered. So their understanding is that we shouldn't show our back to the deity at any time. Right? So, you may ask a question, Krishna has got front and back. Is there something like that? Right? So, the purpose behind that is to make us aware that Krishna's presence in the deity there, you are accepting that all the time. So being respectful all the time while moving inside the temple room also. Right? So so all these systems have come from devotees only. They have brought this in, it is their practices that has entered into the life in the later days. People have accepted that system that you don't show your back to the deity. You don't speak. So many things you see in the Vaishnava Smriti also spoken. Rupa Goswami also said, so many rules mentioned there. If you read all those rules, who is following that today? How many are followed? Is it not? So important to know the goal behind all these things, and whatever that is being done, it should be applied in such a way that the results follow from that, and not in the next life. Everything is for the next life, right? So, next life you won't know what you have done in this life, isn't it? You are not aware of anything, right? So, in this life, while we are living here, to take Krishna consciousness seriously, and in order to go back to Krishna, we have to know all these things, what he is saying. He is saying here, Vadandi Chadugan Motha Yaya Madhva Girol Suga. Chadugan Motha means what? Chadugan Motha means only talking about sense gratification whole day. Only talking about sense gratification, right? That talking about that. Madhva Girol Suga means that they can't enjoy anything properly. Simply discussing sense gratification whole day. In the 24 spiritual masters, you will see spoken about Gramya Katha speaking. Everything is Gramya Katha. Politics, business, everything is Gramya Katha. But that will cause this problem, he's saying. So, Madhva Girol Saga. That means they won't be able to enjoy what is actually sweet in this world. Madhva Girol Suga. What he's saying is that what is the most sweet, the sweetest thing in this world, according to Chamasa Maharshi, is chanting the holy name. And we don't get any taste for that. We find it very hard, right? And if you have developed a taste for chanting, you'll find it difficult to give it up, the chanting the holy name. So, there is a story about this. Interesting story. A Brahmana boy, he wanted to marry a beautiful looking Brahmana girl. He wanted to marry her. So he thought that straightforward way, I'll go and ask her father that I want to marry your daughter. He went and asked him, right? The father asked him, you don't have any qualification. What's your qualification to marry my daughter? He said. It hit him very hard. The Brahmana boy, it hit him very hard, right? He left, he went away from there. Then he was wandering around. See, in them days, people were not running to the shop and office and factory at 7 o'clock in the morning. They were all living a life of freedom and limited desires in life, but occasionally a desire like this can happen. He left, wandered around a lot, thinking about life, so independent in their way of thinking. Meanwhile, he met a sannyasi. Some sannyasi he met, right? And he thought he should open up with this sannyasi about this heartache, how he felt when this brahmana said like this. So he told the whole story to this sannyasi, that he wanted to marry this girl, and he has gone and asked his father, her father, and father said like this to me, what shall I do, he said. So sannyasi asked him, do you have faith in Krishna? He said, do you have faith in that? He said, says, yeah. He said, yes. Then all you have to do is chant the holy name for some time, for a few years, very intensely, chant the holy name. And you keep chanting and everything will come out, he said, properly. So he took that, because sannyasi is saying, them days sannyasi spoke something, people accepted it very seriously. Many sannyasis were yogis also, and they had a lot of mystic powers as well, and many of them have installed temples, deities, everything, right? So he took this instruction very seriously, and morning to night he kept chanting. Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. He kept chanting this whole day and night. After a few years, it so happened that the father brought the daughter in front of him and told him that, I would like to marry her to you, and that's why I brought her with me, he said. So this young man says to him that, I have no intention to get married. I've given up, that desire has gone from me, right? Because, he says to him, the happiness I get from chanting the holy name, I won't get it from the marriage, he said. That is the power of the holy name. Just to illustrate that. So he's saying here that, and he later on became a very famous sannyasi. That person became, right? So it is like this. Chanting the holy name is like something which is very bitter, you don't want to take it inside. But because it's so sweet, you can't spit it outside. That's the way it is. The holy name. Chanting Krishna's holy name is like that. What is so, sometimes it's so bitter for us, because mind is causing problem from inside, telling us why this chanting, how is it going to help. But at the same time, once you have developed a taste for chanting the holy name, you can't spit it out, you can't stop it. You remember? Rupa Goswami says that, isn't it? Tunde tandavinim dedim bitanude tundaveli labdhaye karnakrodha vidambini gaspahe. There is a verse in the Padyavali, it says, Krishna edi varnadvayi. These two letters, Krishna, once it enters into the mouth, it starts dancing on the tongue. Rupa Goswami says, is it not? So, the power of the holy name, who have experienced that, they vouch for this. That you have to chant and develop the taste. That's up to us to do it. That nobody can give it to us. We have to chant and develop the taste. But it will be like very bitter in the beginning. Because mind will put all the problems. Tell us, what's the point in wasting time like this? You could have done something better than this chanting. Right? So, that is why they say, the holy name, once it goes inside, because the mind from inside causes problems, so you can't take it inside. But it is so sweet, it's giving so happiness, you can't spit it outside. It stays on the Cheda Prangana Sangini Vijayadem Pranendriyanam Kridam Padyavali. Rupa Goswami says, right? So, lot of things like that in spiritual life, everything is in the beginning bitter. Chanting the holy name. Waking up early in the morning, difficult. Going to the temple, difficult. Right? So, and if you have to wait in the temple to have a darshanam, all these things is difficult. But after chanting for a long time, for many years, and once you have developed a relationship with Krishna in some way inside, then you find it difficult not going to the temple, not seeing Krishna in the temple, right? And because with that, the happiness that comes from that, all other distress in life is gone. It's not bothering anymore, right? So, that is the greatness of serving Krishna, Ishvara Seva, the Mahima, the glory of that is this, right? Initially it is bitter, later on it becomes sweet, right? When why is this bitterness? Because of the Vishaya Vasana inside. Vasanas inside, which is for tastes, Vishaya, sense enjoyment, sense gratification. Due to that, everything is like that. Holy name is like that. Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. But all these things, it's considered to be like a fever. When you have that fever, when you have fever, everything turns bitter. Even taste food, you won't enjoy it, relish it. Even if you are given a gulab jamun when you have a high temperature, you won't relish it very much because you're not healthy. Similarly, we have a fever in our body. All of us have got that fever, sense gratification, sense enjoyment. And when we have that fever of sense gratification, chanting the holy name is not very tasty. It's not relishable, right? And similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam. If you keep reading Bhagavatam after some time, you enjoy Bhagavatam. There is a lot of things in Bhagavatam which opens up our eyes, either from Narada Maharshi or from Yudhishthira or from many other great personalities in the Bhagavatam. They all tell us about life a lot of things. What to talk about Krishna saying to Uddhava. So, even Gopis tells us, Nanda Maharaj tells us, Yashoda Devi tells us, everybody has something to tell us about life. But we are not feeling any attraction for Bhagavatam. Oh, I have to read Srimad Bhagavatam, I have to hear Bhagavatam. Why is this feeling coming? Vishayavasana inside. Taste for sense gratification has not left us. And that's coming back in different forms. Right? So, that you cannot explain all these things. What? How do you enjoy Bhagavatam? You cannot explain that. But the happiness what you get from hearing Bhagavatam and also reading Srimad Bhagavatam, that has to be experienced by anyone. Right? And some great devotees, they carry Bhagavatam with them wherever they go. And if by chance in life, due to some problem, they couldn't read Bhagavatam, they will feel very disturbed inside. They have to read Bhagavatam every day for some time. So they'll keep the book with them and read it before they go to bed. Sometimes they will read it, right? So, and sometimes it will happen like that, the situation is not helpful, favorable, you are traveling or you got into some situation with family, friends and all that, you can't read. They say at that time at least chant the Chadushlogi, four verses, because that is the seed of Bhagavatam. If you chant those four verses, at least you feel some connection with Bhagavatam. So, instead of taking this message from the Bhagavatam seriously, right? These panditas, what Shamsamarshi is saying here, karmanya govidastabdha murgha panditamanina vadandi chadugan mudha yaya madhva girolsuga, is talking about them. What they will do is that they will pick up those references in the Vedam which gives you some better happiness in life, sense gratification in another way. What is that saying here? Right? It is like this. In order to they think that those instructions in the Vedam which is related to the yajnam, yagam, homam and their results, what is spoken from that, they get attracted to that. Instead of experiencing the happiness of Srimad Bhagavatam, listening and reading from that, and experiencing that inside, happiness of Krishna inside, they will take to those passages in the Vedam of Karmakandam, part of the Vedam, and from that enjoying the results what is spoken by performing that yagam. And they read that and gets a tremendous pleasure from that. You understand? In Vedam, there is Karmakandam. And the results that come from the Karmakandam is spoken there. And they are phenomenal, happening in the what you get from that, going to the heavenly planets, enjoying life there in various ways, all that is spoken there. They get great pleasure from reading that than reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So, you see these homeopathy tablets? Have you taken? It's all small white goli, isn't it? Little ones, right? And all of them are sweet. And that also makes it nice, right? But inside is different. Outside it's all sugar-coated, right? So, but its essence is inside. Its essence is inside. That children doesn't know, because children is difficult to get children to take medicine. So homeopathy is good that way. If you give them a few of these, get some in, get it in, right? So they don't know, that the children doesn't know, that inside that sweet tablet, sweet goli thing, there is this, the remedy there, inside that, right? So this is how it is. Bhagavatam, holy name, everything, is packaged in such a way that outside you may not find it very attractive, the packaging, but inside there is valuable thing, message there, right? In the Upanishad it is spoken that Hiranmayena Patrayana Satya Sabhimukham. You will see that Prabhupada quoted that in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Upanishads he has taken Hiranmayena Patrayana. It's like what Hiranmayena Patrayana means. It's a golden pot, right? And if you get attracted by the pot, you will fall into that. Pot is golden pot. Hiranmayena Patrayana. But Satyam, the truth, is put it inside that. So you shouldn't get affected by the pot, rather you should see the truth, what is inside the pot, that is the soul. That's what Upanishad is saying like that, right? But if our mind is attached to sense gratification, sense enjoyment, your mind will not go in that direction. That is why, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this in a nice way. He put it in the second chapter, you will see in the 42nd verses. This is what he is saying here. The same message. Yeah? Yam imam pushpidam vacham. 242, 43, 44. All three verses. It's all about this attraction for Karmakandam. Krishna is criticizing these people for this. Ya imam pushpidam vacham. Prabhadandi avipaschidaha. Veda vadarada partha. Nanyal astidi vadina. Kamad mana surga para janma karma phala pradan kriya vishesha bahulam bhoga aishwarya gatim prati. What is Krishna is saying here is that men of small knowledge, this is what he is saying, are very attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planet, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. These Vaidika Brahmanas who are trained in that Yaga tradition, they know very well there is no question of going down again. They will go up, but they don't get released from the cycle of birth and death. That is their problem. They go, enjoy, come back, and again perform Yagam here, again go up and enjoy and come back. In this way they keep going back and forth. And Krishna is criticizing them for that. This mentality. That's what he's saying here. That kriya vishesha bhulam. They are very experts in performing the sacrifices. Kriya vishesha bhulam. Then bhoga aishwarya gadim pati. But bhogam aishwaryam. Opulences and sense gratification. They are very much attracted to that. So as long as vishaya vasana inside there, brahmanas also will get attracted this way. Even though they have studied Vedam. So you can see how difficult it is. Till this Vishayavasana goes away from inside, bhakti is out of question. Where can be bhakti? There is no bhakti. All bhakti will be mixed with this Vishayavasana inside. And then what did Krishna says after that? In the next verse he is saying that Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Abhakrata Chedasam Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi Samasauna Vidhiyade. If you have attraction for Bhogam, Aishwaryam, opulence and sense enjoyment, which has taken away your intelligence, Taya Abhakrata Chedasam, for them it is very difficult to get fixed up in proper spiritual life. It's not possible. Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi Samasauna Vidhiyade. It's not possible. So Krishna has spoken about them, and that is what Melpathura has also said in the Narayaniyam. The same principle, that attraction for yagam, homam, yajnam, everything is very strong in people's life in them days. Now that's also, now we are thinking in a different way. Now we think we make money by hook or crook and then enjoy life. But when Vedam was followed seriously, even the Brahmanas thought like this. Perform yagam, yajnam like that. Enjoy life in that way. You see that differences? How we have moved away from that. Today nobody performs yagam, yajnam or homam. Everybody believes that big business, big industry, empires and acquire, making a lot of money by hook or crook, some other. That is the modern concept. The modern concept is that. Make money at whatever cost it is. But Vaidic times, including the kings when they ruled, was always, they didn't have this all these big industrial establishments and modern methods of making money. But they still had that Vishayavasana was inside. And for them, yagam, homam, yajnam, all these things. And Krishna is saying about them. Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam. So, and what Krishna is saying, that's what Chamasa Maharshi is also saying here. Yaya Madhva Girol Suga. If you look into that sixth verse in the fifth chapter. Yaya Madhva Girol Suga. Right? So, say you have seen a nice mango, fully ripe and ready to eat, right? But the skin covering the mango is beautiful. So if you get attracted by the skin and you start eating the skin, in the olden days we used to eat skin also because it was so tasty. It was not grown like the way it's grown today. Big, huge mango trees with loads of mangoes on that. They'll fall, and as soon as you fall, sometimes you didn't have even time to wash them. Straight away eaten. When it falls from the tree, straight away pick up and start eating. Because attraction for that. But some of the mangoes would be fully ripe, and the color of it was so beautiful that they start eating that straight away, isn't it? But if you only eat the skin and throw the rest away, then what happens? And that is what he is saying here. Madhva Girol Suga. Means that you have taken the Vedam in your hand, but you have eaten the skin, which is this yagam, homam, everything. But you didn't take the essence. Purpose of the Vedam is to get out of this cycle of birth and death. Knowledge. Realization for that. If that you are not getting from the Vedam, then what's the purpose of Vedam? To stop this cycle of birth and death is the whole purpose of life, isn't it? To realize the self. So that's what he's saying here. So if you hear all these beautiful words, Imam Pushpidam Vajam, what Krishna is saying here, and you reject all the rest of the Vedam, then that is very unfortunate. So yagam also is not for going to the heaven, right? So purpose of yagam is to purify the mind, to get rid of the vasanas inside. Chitta Shuddhi. That is for that purpose yagam is performed. But they are not looking at it like that. Their sankalpam is yagam is for going to heaven and to enjoy. That's not correct. That's what he is saying here. Krishna says that and Chamasa Maharshi also says there. Right? So, purpose is, he said, you will see that that freedom from karma. Karma is binding us. Because of karma, only another body, isn't it? So, to come out of this karma, it is for that karma yogam. And that karma yogam is its yagam. So, when you are performing yagam, the understanding should be karma yogam. That is not happening. they saw the other side of the yagam, enjoyment in the heavenly planets. You will see this mentioned in the third chapter, 11.3. If you look at the 43rd verse, Avirhotra Maharshi is saying this. Karmam akarmam vikarmedi vedavadav na laugika vedasya jeshir altmatval tatra muhyandi suraya. This is the same thing what he is saying there. Karmam akarmam vikarmam. Right? In this way, three ways it is spoken. Right? Why? Why? Karmam, agarmam, vikarmam. Right? Basically, it is saying here that, in fact, it is not spoken about laugiyam. Laugiyam means material activities. It's not even discussed there. Right? Vedam will never talk about material life. It's not the purpose of Vedam. Right? But, the three way, things that is spoken there is, karmam is what is allowed, and agarmam, but not doing it, and vikarmam is that what you have been told not to do, doing it, right? So that you follow in the right track. You follow in the right track, right? So, vikarmam means, I know nowadays you have to remember this a little bit more. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about vikarma, right? Avirhotra Maharshi is also talking about vikarma. What is the difference? Difference is this. In when Nimi Maharshi and Navayogi conversation happened, karma always referred to Vaidika karma. Is it not? Vaidika karma, yagam. Like, karma means yagam. Because nobody will step out of Vedam. Everybody was accepting Vedam as authority. And Vedam spoke about karma. And Vaidika karma means yagam, homam, yajnam, things like that. So, when you apply this, karmam, akarmam, vikarmam, in Avirhotra's time, it's referring to within the framework of Vedam, where you do things which is not allowed. That is what he said, vikarmam, right? That means without understanding properly, engaging in karmam in the Vedam is vikarmam, right? Vedam says certain things are not allowed to do, nishiddham, right? And if you do that, it is vikarmam, Vedic injunctions, right? And lot of it is like that, right? And if you develop that as a habit, doing that, then it becomes very dangerous later. Dangerous later, right? Because Vedam is Krishna's soul. Ishvara's Atma it is, Vedam, right? And we did not understand that, and it has happened like that. For example, Kamya Karma. Now, when the Brahmanas have taken the Vedam and the Yagam, kings and the Brahmanas together, that's who do all these things. They are the people who have done that, right? So, the king makes all the facility for the yagam. Brahmanas do all the yagam. Karmam is done by the Brahmana. All the facility is provided by the king. So, if the Brahmana sangalpam is wrong, then it becomes a vikarmam. Without knowing the sangalpam of the Vedam, understanding of the Vedam, that is what he is saying here. Vedam says nishiddham it is. That means to perform the yagam with the intention of going to heavenly planets and to enjoy there. That is not the sangalpam of the Vedam. It is to be considered as a yogam, karma yogam it has to become. And by that you have to acquire chitta shuddhi, purification inside, so that jnanam or bhakti will come. That is the way it works, right? But that's not happening here. If you do this yagam with the intention of enjoying life in heavenly planets, that means it is become vikarma. Nishiddham it is, right? So, that is what it says there. If you make that as a habit, then it is troublesome, right? So, so kamya karmam, it has become kamya karmam then. Kamya karmam you have performed, but did it become develop peace inside? It didn't bring any peace inside, right? So, You can see life also is like that, isn't it? some people taken to Krishna consciousness that they want to have a good son or a good daughter or good children in that way. They worshipped Krishna like that, and what happened after that? The son was born, right? Can you imagine? After that, yes, that person become happy, son or daughter, whatever it is, right? Then from that day onwards, further life becomes more complicated. Education of the son or daughter, and then their marriage, and then the grandchildren. In this way, life goes. Where is the time to chant? Isn't it? We think about life in one way because we do everything what society does. We don't consult Vedam or what Vedam tells us. We are all trapped in the same problems, all of us. Right? We thought that is the right thing is getting married, having wife, having children. And then you start thinking, oh, now the children are there to bring them up, so educating them. And when they are grown up, getting them married. And then what happens? That they are happy in their marriage. So what? Look at the complications of Maya, how it comes in. Right? So this type of thing is a nature of the Laugiga. Laugiga life, is material life is like that. There's nothing you can do about this, right? So, every day, it will bind you more and more. You lose your freedom in life with this way of life. I'm saying the way the society has trained us in that way. It has bound us to this world more with that, right? So, initially, with the wife and the children, we got bound because of the affection for them. It's a rope that's been bound around us, but there is no rope, but it is bound. Everybody knows that, how that binding happens, right? And then what happens? You had a daughter, imagine. You got her married to some other home, somebody, right? Naturally, what will happen? They have become your family then. That family has become your family, right? So, now you have to show affection to them as well, because you have become that like that. Like the way your own wife and children has bound you, now you are bound more with another family as well, right? And then imagine that from your daughter, from the husband, they had a child, another daughter was born from them, right? And that child girl was got married to some other family. By now you have become very old, but you have got bound much more than before. You got your family, you got your daughter's family, and then another granddaughter, one, and who is married to another family, and they have become that family also. So all you had only started with one family, now you ended up with three. So Maya is like that. Laugiyam is like that. There's nothing you can do. This is the way it is set up. So getting bound all the time, one way or the other, from all sides, Chamasamarshi is saying there, with all this, where will you have time to chant Hare Krishna? That's what he's asking us. He says here, karma karma vikarmedi vedavadavna laugiga vedasya cheshur altmatval tatramukhyandi suraya. So this is the nature of material life. There is nothing, it's no point in saying anything against it, but to understand that how it works, right? So in this way, you got married to another house, another family has become your family. In this way, the whole world has become your family at the end. So at the end, what happened? You couldn't escape. You got caught up in the trap. That is why. And so all the bondage has happened. Right? What do you do then after this? Right? So no time to go to temple, offer obeisances to Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or to chant the holy name, no time. This is what it ended up with. Right? So, everything has changed in life, in the society also. In the past, it was not difficult for people to wake up in the morning. To wake up at 3-4 o'clock was not a difficult thing. Right? And they were able to finish up their morning work at kitchen or whatever they had to do. And by 6, 7 o'clock to go to the temple was not difficult for them. Now with all the facilities we have, travel, everything, we find it difficult to do it. Just look at the way how it has changed, right? So, so the more we have facilities, our surrender and service to Krishna has diminished. We find it difficult. We can't fit it in, we say. We sit to the temple. We can't fit it in. That's what they say. I couldn't fit it in. Visiting temple is becoming a fitting it in. Instead, historically it wasn't like that. It was considered that after waking up they had to walk sometimes a long distance. Even then they walked into the temple mile or two if they had to visit. But they will still walk all the way to the temple because there was no transport facilities. They were still willing to walk and go to the temple. And it was a part of life. Today with all these facilities, we find it difficult to do it. Right? So, all these things that in life has made a big change. Right? So similarly, chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things are there for us to relish and get the benefit out of that. But people don't have the time. That is the problem. People just don't have the time for it. They're so busy in life. What do you do? When this is the situation, right? And then we have problems. It is hot, it's cold, we complain about everything. All those problems as well, right? So, all these things, how does it help? Performing yagam is more attractive. Perform the yagam, go to heaven, enjoy their life. Why go through all these things, right? So, who says this, that you can enjoy there? Has anybody who is dead has come back and told us that you can go and enjoy in the heavenly planets, right? So, it is like this. Upanishad says, whatever you think about in life, eventually that is what you will be at the end. Mm-hmm. Is it not? Yamyam vavismaran bhavam tejatyande kalayabaram tantam evaidi kaundeya sada tadbhava bhavida. You see, when you are studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you are only seeing one aspect of the Vedic way of life. Only one aspect of it. There is a whole another scene behind it. Especially with the yagam, homam, yajnam and all other things as well. Right? So, to take this message from Bhagavad Gita, you also have to know, as I mentioned before also, they are all connected to Veda from one way or the other. Whether it is Bhagavad Gita or it's Upanishads, it's Bhagavatam, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, everything there is a line connection to Vedam, right? So, Krishna put it in a very straightforward way in the Bhagavad Gita, Yamyam Abhismaran Bhav, right? Shukha Brahmashi told us, Andhya Narayana Smriti. Same thing, is it not? What Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, so same thing Shukha Brahmashi is saying here. Edavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam, Sodharma Bharinishtaya, Janmalabha Parapumsam, Andhya Narayana Smriti. If Narayana Smriti is not there, what will happen? Life is finished, right? So, he gave us this idea. Now, you get the difficulty. Just like in the dream state, yeah? In the dream state, you have no control, isn't it? Which dream is going to happen? You don't know. You've gone to bed, and things what has come in the dream, you yourself couldn't believe that. How this has come in my mind, and it has come in my dream. Naturally, you will think about it. Why is these dreams coming to me in the night? Then people in the morning, they say, I had this dream last night and all. Why did that dream come? Who is behind it? It was not me. I didn't know why it has come. What it is indicating is, Krishna is always very much in control of the situation. He has decided that this is what dream what you are going to have in the sleep. Because Antaryami inside, he is guiding the mind and allowing the vasanas inside to come out in the dream. But it is controlled by the Antaryami inside. In the same way, at the time of death also, even if you may think that, oh, I will think about Krishna at the time of death, it may not happen. it will not happen. Because Antaryami at that point will decide what thought you should have at the time of death. This is how it is. That is why he is saying here, Edavan Sangi, all this bhakti, jnanam, yogam, everything is only to increase that vasana inside so that Krishna will give us that opportunity to think about him at the time of death. Edavan Sangha Yogabhyam Sudharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Parapumsam Ande Narayana Smriti. If Narayana Smriti has to happen, it can only happen if Krishna gives you that, not by your effort. It will not happen. Because whole life we have spent in all these other kinds of things. And we expect that it will happen at that time. It will not happen. Because people, when they hear Ajamila Moksham, they ask this question, oh, I'll think about Krishna at the time of death. At that time I will chant. Can you organize that in advance? You can't. It's not in your hands, isn't it? Just like in the dream, you have no control. Time of death also, you have no control. It is in Krishna's hands. So that is why bhakti, what it is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam, that's what they are saying here, that from the life itself, our own life here, we can more or less guess what is likely to come at the time of death. The way we have lived here, accordingly it will come. Right? So, so wherever vyapara means mind is absorbed in day, in life, that's the one that will come at the end. Right? Say you are thinking about women, that will come at the time of death. Right? If you are thinking about an animal, it will come that. And if you are attached to an animal, it will come. And whatever it is, come in the thoughts. That is why Bharata Yogeshwara story in the 5th canto, isn't it? Jadabharata. He had such a nice training. In spite of that, they had a prarabdham to go through. So you can see he was helpless about it. You can't blame Bharata for that. He himself says that. When does he say this? When he became Jadabharata. In the third life he is telling, it was my prarabdham to go through that dear body. Why? Because at the time of death, I have given up my palace, family, all the wealth and comfortable life, everything, and came to the forest, to Gandaki River, to realize the truth. And here I go and get attracted to a deer. Look at his misfortune. And that is prarabdham. So what prarabdham will do to, if our prarabdham is not over, it can bring some problem. So what he is saying here is that what you think at the time of death, that will decide your next destiny, right? Destination, right? So Bharata's story is the best in the Bhagavatam for this, to prove to us, in spite of being a king, in spite of being a powerful personality with all the opulences and health and everything, he went to the forest to realize the truth, but he ended up like this. But in Jadabharata's body, he realized what has happened. Therefore, what did he do? No more sangam anymore with anybody. Tight lip. It is this has caused the problem. He got attracted to the deer and wanted to protect the deer, looked up. He should have left it there after saving it from the water. No, he felt attached to it and developed that. So, so think about all these things in the Bhagavatam, then you will understand that how far you will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. Right? So, if you are able to get Krishna's remembrance of Krishna, time of death, profit. If not, loss. That's what he's saying. Who? Shubhramarshi. Janmalabha Parapumsam Ande Narayana Smriti. Right? Ande Narayana Smriti. Everywhere in the Bhagavatam, Hari Smriti Sarva Vibhad Vimokshanam. Isn't it? So, Smriti, Krishna's memory, remembering Krishna, is spoken like that. Right? So, even if you perform, say, yagam, to get it right is not easy. It's a lot of effort, planning involved, and completely focused on that. making sure everything goes very well, right? But here you'll see there in the in this chapter that then even Brahma had to change his leave his body one day, isn't it? Brahma has to leave. So so Brahma also has an end, like we all have an end. Only thing is he has got a much longer life, right? So what he is saying here is that karmanya govida stabdha murgha panditamanina vadandi chatugan mudha yaya madhva girolsuga. Chamasa Maharshi is saying there that karmam is for what purpose? Karmam is for self-realization. If it is not helping for self-realization, in that case, it will cause problems. It will cause problems. That means that everything in life has to be focused on this one issue, realizing the truth. All our activities, our eating habits, our sleeping habits, our life in this world, everything has to be tuned for this one issue of self-realization. Only in that case it can be a success. It can be a success, right? Just like they say that prasadam, for example, right? So what is offered as prasadam, it will have its benefit. Otherwise it will cause disease in the body, right? It is not good to eat simply looking at the taste only. Only looking at, although it is very difficult sometimes just to look at the taste of the food. It shouldn't be eaten that way, right? So one should know one's own stomach and eat accordingly, right? Everybody in this world don't eat in the same way. Everybody has different habits also. In the same way, like food is different for different people, isn't it? That suits their body. For different people, different food suits their body. Similarly, karmam also, that which karmam should I do so that I will be happy in my life? That's one has to know that, right? Because while living in this body itself, to realize the suit, the whole thing what we have got is karmam, right? So engaging in such karmam in such a way that we should not think about the way what Chamasa Maharshi is saying about this Brahmana. That performing yagam and going to heaven and reaping the results there, this should not be the goal of life. That is what this fifth chapter, basically Chamasa Maharshi is saying there. Then, one thing here is that in this 11th canto, it is an important part of the Bhagavatam, 11th and 12th also, right? Everything is Upadesham, isn't it? 11 and 12, if you look, it's Upadesham. It's not Katha. Instruction. That's what you find there, right? So, last 10 canto, which you have heard as stories through Katha, right? And what you have to know through all that 10 is spoken in the 11th. What you have to get to at the end, after hearing the 10 canto, that message is in the 11th, spoken directly. In the 10 cantos, it is spoken through stories and different episodes, what happened. Puranam, way of saying that. When it comes to 11th canto, what it is saying is what you have to know through all these 10 canto is spoken directly in the 11th, right? So that is why it's called Muktiskandam, isn't it? That is the name for the 11th canto, Muktiskandam, right? What is mukti in the Bhagavatam? What does it say? Mukti hit anyadha rupam surubena vivasthiti. Remember that? In the second canto. When they spoke about the 10 cantos, about the 11th canto when it comes, Muktihi Tanyadharyubam Surubena Vyavasthiti. If you understand all those words, it makes a lot easier. What he is saying here, Anyadharyubam you have to give. What is Anyadharyubam means? Anyadharyubam means, you are identifying with the body at the moment, thinking that I am this body and I am living like that. I have broken away from that. And Anyadharyubam also includes not only this bodily identity, all other identities I have superimposed on this body, which means I am a father, I am a mother, I am a brother, I am a sister, I am an engineer, I am a doctor, I am a professional, I am a lawyer, whatever it is, I am a politician, I am a businessman, I am an Indian, I am an American. This is all part of this Anyadharyubam. So when you become free from all these things, Mukti Hitva Anyadharyubam and Swarubana Vyavasthiti, when you realize that you are consciousness, Krishna is part and parcel, when you realize that, that is called Mukti. So Mukti means freedom from all other identities. That's what he is saying there. Shukha Brahmarshi said this, isn't it? So it is that Mukti that is spoken in this 11th canto. 11th canto. So he's saying here that, so at the moment I am thinking I am something else. That's what I am doing in this world. I am thinking in different ways. I am so many other things I am thinking. I am Indian, I am American, I am European or whatever. Husband, wife and engineer, doctor, old man, young man. And all these are Anyadharyubam. It has nothing to do with the reality. But to realize who I am and to be able to stay in that identity, that is called Mukti, right? So, today you may have this identity. I was born in this particular place, right? And this is my name. This is my form, right? These are all my relations. These are all fat or slim or my caste, all other things like that. So, all these things, whichever you are attaching to yourself, is all Anyadharyubam, right? Anyadharyubam goes away, Swarubam comes back. When Anyadharyubam goes away, Swarubam comes back, right? So, you start thinking, all these dresses I have put on, in all these different roles, what I am playing in this world, in different ways, right? Who am I then? I have put on all these different identities, different roles I am playing here. But then who am I, right? So, these 10 cantos, whatever that you have spoken is full of Krishna's pastime. Even earlier cantos also is Krishna's pastimes only. Different incarnations. They are all Krishna's pastimes. And 10th canto is directly Krishna's pastimes. But Narasimha Avataram, Vamana Avataram, Sri Rama Avataram, all other incarnations also is Krishna's pastimes in different ways, isn't it? So, Sargam to Nirodham. Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Udi, Manyandaram, Ishanigatha, Nirodham. From the 3rd canto onwards, right up to 10th canto. Right? So, it's all Krishna. Sargam to Nirodham is all Krishna's Leela, right? Particularly in the tenth, right? So, idea is that to break away from this prabhanjam, this world, completely and to get closer to the truth. Krishna is the truth, right? And all those stories are with that goal spoken, right? So, while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, to develop that attachment to all these. That is why to read Srimad Bhagavatam is important. Every day if you read, you will get some time you spend. Otherwise, if you give a big gap, everything will be forgotten, gone from the mind, right? So, and therefore, able to read daily and also able to hear Bhagavatam as often as possible, right? So, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam with Shraddha, Lord Shraddha, right? Many places Bhagavatam tells about Bhalashruti also. What you will get from that, is it not? So, Shraddha is important while hearing. So, Bhagavatam says, if you have very good Shraddha, immediately you will get the experience of Krishna. That's how Bhagavatam says about that. Shishroshubhi talshanal, it says. Now, Vedavyasa Maharshi says that in the beginning, isn't it? ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തുശിവതം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാവരേ ഈശ്വരേ സദ്യോഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാലീസേ. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇഫ് ചിത്തശുദ്ധി ഈസ് ദേ, മനഃശുദ്ധി ഓർ ചിത്തശുദ്ധി ഈസ് ദേ, ഇഫ് യു ഹിയർ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം വിത്ത് ശ്രദ്ധ, കൃഷ്ണ ഗെറ്റ്സ് ഇൻ സ്ട്രേറ്റ് അവേ ആൻഡ് ഹി വിൽ ഗിവ് ദി എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഇൻസൈഡ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ഋഷീസ് വേർഡ്സ്, സോ യു ഹാവ് ടു അക്സെപ്റ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് ഹി ഹാസ് റിട്ടൺ സംതിങ് ജസ്റ്റ് ടു എന്റർടൈൻ അസ് ഓർ ടു ഗിവ് അസ് സം ഫോൾസ് പ്രോമിസസ്. What he is saying is that if you are ready for it, to hear Bhagavatam seriously, immediate experience is guaranteed. He is saying, Shushrushabhi Talshanal. Talshanal means on the spot. You should have the experience of Krishna. So, if it is not happening, what we have to understand is that there is somewhere Shraddha lacking, lack of Shraddha. In the, means other thoughts coming in, inside. And taking over the mind. You will see Krishna says this to Uddhava later on. Ekadasi Skandam. Yatha yadalma parimrujya deso mal punyagada shravanabhidhane tadha tadha pasyati vastu sushmam. What is vastu sushmam? Krishna. Tadha tadha pasyati. He said, you will see me in the heart. Chakshudrivai anjana samprayuktam. Like the person with the cataract, how they were removing that with the kajal before, in the same way. So, Krishna is saying this, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this, Shuka Brahmarshi is saying there. Do you think that they all have a motive to cheat us? If they are not experiencing this, they won't tell us these things. So, you got to have that faith in their words, in the Rishi's words. Krishna's words, Vedavyasa Maharshi's words, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi's words, they are all telling us that if you Shraddha with Shraddha, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the result is immediate. It should happen. So if it's not happening, the only reason for that is lack of Shraddha, he's saying. So, so Krishna, who has taken all these different incarnations, right? And a person who has heard it enough about, from Bhagavatam, right? And one who is able to get completely absorbed in those 10 cantos, it is for him this 11th canto will be extremely beneficial. One who has developed such a strong attachment to Krishna through the first 10 cantos and who had realized that there is only Krishna here, nothing else. If it is in that state, for him this 11th canto will be immensely beneficial for him. There is a catch into the 11th canto like this. That till that 11th canto is beneficial only when you have all the 10 cantos in your mind. You have studied and listened to it and heard enough that it has had an impact in you and you have been affected by that. For that person, 11th canto will do a tremendous boost. It is. It's a big eye-opener for him. Right? So, but actually, what's happening, this is also another problem. No, people don't want the 10 cantos first. They want the 11th one only. Some people have got this problem. They think that these 10 cantos are all stories. I'm not interested. Only 11th canto will do. Right? That will not work. That will not work. That's the way it is. You have to follow what they are telling us, what Shobhramashi is telling us, right? So, in the previous cantos also, right, first to 10 cantos, there is a lot of studi there, is it not? Mujukunda studi, Akrura studi, and Bhishma studi, Kundi studi, so many studis there, Prahlada studi, Dhruva studi, full of studis before. Along with those studis, there is also some Upadesham also in there. Upadesham means direct instructions. Also there. But because it was all spoken in the background of the stories, they were all spoken in the background of the stories, all the studis and Upadesham also. Isn't it? Kundi studi, you know. Bhishma studi, Kundi studi, all. There is a background story behind it. Right? But if you have heard in the background of the stories all those Sudhis and Upadesham. By the time you get to Ekadasha Skandam, this 11th canto, mind will be completely fixed in this, in the truth, right? And therefore, in that state when you hear Ekadasham, very easily you will capture it. Ekadasha Skandam is very difficult. There is no doubt about that, right? And you can't read it like a storybook, because Krishna is talking directly to Uddhava right on his face, and he is ready to leave the world. So imagine the gravity of the situation. Uddhava is leaving the world, isn't it? He is going, and he is leaving Krishna. So naturally there is no time to joke there anymore. Serious talk, as I mentioned before, what you see in Ekadasham is Krishna's serious face. Not all that jolly life what was there in the previous cantos. So here you can see that. So as long as you keep on hearing the other 10 canto, what it is supposed to create inside is vairagyam, virakti, getting to know this world better. This is what the world has got to offer us, and getting ourselves a bit free from that effect of the world. This is the first 10 candles do to us. If it has not done yet, you have to realize that. You have to go back to Bhagavatam and start going back to these 10 cantos again. You see, otherwise it won't happen, because vairagyam is the qualification for 11th canto. If vairagyam has not happened, whatever, we'll discuss this when we discuss that 10th chapter, that vairagyam is only the tool to, if there is no vairagyam inside, what Krishna is saying is that, whatever I am saying to you, it will not go inside, he said. You won't understand it. It will go like that. On top of the head. It will flow. Nothing will go inside. You will just hear that, but you won't understand anything what I am saying, he said. So, so along with vairagyam, also, through that vairagyam, and after hearing about Krishna so much, naturally within yourself you develop a bhakti bhavam. A bhavam, bhakti bhavam inside, right? So such a person, when he hears Ekadasham, he will develop this. Anyadha rubam will go, and swarubena vyavasthiti will happen. It's all very subtle things what Bhagavatam is saying. That is why people are studying Srimad Bhagavatam whole life. Some of them have read 3,000, 4,000 times Bhagavatam. And still when they left the body, what did they say? They said, I am still finding difficult to fully understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's message. That how important Srimad Bhagavatam is, right? So, so 10 cantos we have seen before, right? And in Bhagavata Saptahams also, what you find there, after 6 days hearing Krishna Katha, it is on the 7th day, just before Parikshit has left, this Ekadasha Skandam was spoken. It will come on the last day, most of it. They will just start on the 6th day evening, and then it is the 7th day mostly, Ekadasha Skandam is what is spoken, because 12th canto is very short, 13 chapters. And out of that also, with the 5th chapter, Parikshit is gone. Isn't it? So basically, 11th canto and the first 5 chapters of the 12th canto is what is a direct message for Parikshit from Shukha Brahmarshi. After that, Shukha Brahmarshi also gone. Then what you find in the Bhagavatam, how Sutta and Shaunaka is talking to each other. So you can understand now why this 11th canto is so precious in many ways, right? So that means by then, the person who is hearing, by 6 days, he should have become so intense and focused in listening Bhagavatam. He should have become so intense and so focused in listening, right? So, but it is not possible also to become like that. This is all we are talking about the olden days, right? So, all we can do these days is to go little by little every day, as and when time allows,
because we are all very busy people in life. So therefore, as much as time allows, here and there you can take some part in the Srimad Bhagavatam and remember that. But if our buddhi is completely absorbed in the katha, totally, right? And after that, if you are feeling inspired to chant the holy name, right? There is no doubt that if you hear Ekadasha Skandam, you will get the message right. You will get it right. The message will come out rightly. Otherwise, if you read Ekadasham, it won't make any head and tail. That's the difficulty. If you have heard the 10 cantos very well, and it has inspired to chant the holy name, Krishna's holy name, there is no doubt about that, Ekadasha Skandam you will capture easily. Right? So, you remember, in the first canto, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi told Parikshit that for what purpose Krishna has to put on all these dresses and come, right? And when the purpose is over, Krishna decided to dismantle that dress and go away from here. But in that process, he used the Pandavas as a cause for that, and he used others also to relieve the burden of the earth. Krishna has done that, right? And finally, that he saw the Yadava family is still left in this world. So, because they were dependent on him, on Krishna, right? They were so opulent, because they were dependent on Krishna, right? And due to that opulence, they will become proud. He saw this in advance, that these Yadavas will become very proud, he said, right? And they will become a burden later. Krishna knows all this, what is going to happen to all of us, right? So, therefore he decided that I have to get rid of them from here, his own people. But it won't be proper to get rid of them by using somebody else. The best thing is to use them themselves and get rid of them. And that is how he decided that he found that Mausalam Nasha Kausalam. Right? The Leela, Mausala Leela. Mahabharatam also, it runs into many, many chapters, this Mausalam. And in here, Bhagavatam also, that it was Krishna Sangalpam, it was. That within there, the children's mind, Samba, Pradyumna and others, to behave like that. Otherwise, Krishna's children won't behave like that. They are not. Like Parikshit made one mistake. And that's not Parikshit's nature, isn't it? It was Krishna Sangalpam inside, from Parikshit, to do what he did to the Shamigrishi. Why he put that? It was Krishna Sangalpam it is. Parikshit is not a person who will do such a thing. But he did. Same way, Krishna's children will never misbehave like this to the rishis. But inside them, Krishna decided that this is the end. And so he prompted them to behave like that to the rishis, upset Durvasa, Vishwamitra and many others, and they got what they wanted at the end. So we'll stop for a few minutes and continue on. Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvavanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purnamrada swadanam nasubanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tarpidanimidasmarinagala yadarshi tavagrava bhagavan mamavi durdeva meedashamiha janina anuraga Tranaravishuni jena, Taravi sahishuna, Amanina manadena, Kirtaniya sadahari, Nathanam na janam na sundarim, Kavidam vajagadisha kamae, Uma janmani janmani shuri, Bhavadad bhakti rahai dugitui, Nandadanu jagingaram, Padidam amshame bavambudo, Rabayata obada bangajasti, Daduli sadrasham vijindayam, Nayanam Galada Shrudharaya, Vadanam Gadgadarudhaya, Gira Plagirnijanam Gadavabu, Tavandam Grahane Bhavishadi, Yuga idam Nimeshena, Chachusha Pravisha idam, Shunya idam Jagal Sarvam, Govinda Virahename, Ashlishava Padaridam Pinashtumam, Adarshanam Marmahadam Garuduva, Yadadava Vidadadalam Vido, Malpranana Thastuna Evana Pera, Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam. Govinda Govinda. So, Krishna Sangalpa, that to behave, misbehave towards the rishis by his children. And then finally they saw that mausalam in Samba's belly, isn't it? And even after noticing that, they didn't go back to Krishna and tell him about that. They went to Ugrasena to say this, right? And Ugrasena said, don't say this to Krishna. There's no need to tell him that. Remember what Krishna told Ugrasena before? That was forgotten. That is Krishna Sangalpam. So, at that moment, they decided that we will grind it to powder and throw it away, which they did. And then, one piece that was left, which could not, was so small, that he decided that you can throw it away. But it ended up in the hands of the hunter later, Jara. Jara got it later, isn't it? So, Krishna's attitude was, I want to finish this whole drama here. This Leela has to finish, right? There you'll say, Kalarup Ennu Modada. Kalam, Krishna, who is in the form of time, has made this decision. Kalarupi Anyamodada. Kalarupi. In that way, it was decided to finish this whole chapter. And that is why you see there, the hunter Jara got that piece, and everything was set up like that. Krishna knew everything what was going on, everywhere. Right? So, he is waiting for this to happen now. Why? Because he is Kalarupi. Kalarupa means that Kalam, you have to understand Kalam the way Vedam says. Things that is changing everything. Constant change, change, change all the time. That is Kalam. Kalam is not time. That's what I am saying. What we call as time is not Kalam. What we call as time is, you look at the watch and say it's 9:30 or 10:30. That's what how we look at time. But Kalam in Shastram is that power which is changing everything constantly. You remember we discussed this in the third canto also when Maitreya Maharshi and Vidura. So Kalam has to be understood that way. That force of Krishna in this world which is constantly changing everything. Constant changing our body also. Changing everything in this world is Kalam. Right. So so the understanding is, the why it is spoken about Kalam so strongly is, at a particular time, everything will go under influence of time. Today it is changing everything, and one day everything will disappear. So Kalam should be understood on the background of this principles. That power that is changing everything constantly, and finally that power that destroys everything from here, that is called Kalam. Krishna said that, Kalosmi Loka Kshayakana Pravartha, Loka and Samahastu Miha Pravartha, Kriti Vitam Mahavishandi Sarve, Yavastita Pratinigeshu Yoha, in the 11th chapter. Right. So, that dress form what Krishna has put on when he came here. According to Srimal Bhagavatam, that dress has left out. Because, even if it is a dress that Krishna has put on, you remember how that dress was taken away from our vision, that form, right? And he takes it away one day from this world, it is taken away. That form also is taken away from this world, right? So, he came and put on the dress as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. And in that dress, 125 years, he spent the time here. You remember in Bhagavatam, many places you will see that Indra also said, if you come in this dress, human dress, Martivesham, isn't it? Bhagavatam will say this, many places. Martyavyasham. Marty means Manishavyasham, human form, right? So, all these dresses, what he has put on, also he is leaving it behind. So, if Krishna, who has put on all these dresses, as a son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and then the darling of the gopis, and then later on as the husbands of so many queens, Rukmini, Satyabhama and many others, all these dresses gone one day. So even Krishna has to dismantle all the dresses. If Krishna has to dismantle all the dresses, what about us? When we have to dismantle the dress, we don't have to worry about it at all. That is the message. If Krishna himself, when he comes, all the dresses he has put on, he has dismantled and gone, isn't it? Don't look back into Rukmini, who Rukmini is before. But in this life here, when Krishna was here, Rukmini was Krishna's wife, isn't it? So that relationship is over here. That dress Rukmini, Maharishmi has put on as Rukmini, and Krishna has put on as a husband, all that dress is gone now. So if this law applies to Krishna, what about us? Does that law apply? So in order to teach us all these Leela form, to saying that, right? In other words, what he's saying is, all the dresses I have put on is also not real. It's all dress that he has put on. As Rukmini's husband and Satyabhama's husband, or the father of Pradyumna, or grandfather of Aniruddha, all these are the dresses what Krishna has put on. And even that is not real, because you can see all those dresses gone, dismantled, gone, right? So if they are not real, do you think our dress is real? Mm-hmm. How real is our dress then? That's a way to think about it. If Krishna's dress is not real, what he has put on, as you can see, it's not real. After Krishna left, they all left in different ways, isn't it? They didn't go together all. They all left at different times, to different places, wherever they have come from. So if that is not real, do you think our dress is real then? What we have put on here. So that is a Paramartham. That is what this Ekadasi Skandam is saying to us, right? So what remains ultimately is only that living force which we call as Krishna. The Chaitanyam, or the living force present all the time, is Krishna, right? So this Nivinavayogi Samvadam, what is in the second, third and fourth chapter, right? When Devaki and Vasudev, they were being spoken to by Sri Narada Maharshi, right? Narada Maharshi is talking to Devaki and Vasudev, right? And then later on, Krishna is talking to Uddhava, the same thing, right? In both instances, this is the point they are stressing. Both Nivinavayogi Samvadam as well as Krishna and Uddhava Samvadam. He says all these are dresses. One should be conscious of that all the time, that you are having some dress at the moment, and that dress you have to leave it at one point, some point in time, right? And again, Krishna is saying there, dress is not you. You are actually different from all these dresses, what you have put on. And that is the point that, and Krishna is taking us to pure consciousness, who we are, what is our identity? That bodham, awareness, isn't it? Our bodham, pure bodham, consciousness, who we are. Right. So, with so many years, Krishna has relieved the burden of the earth, and in the time that is going to happen in the future, for the future, after his departure, Krishna's departure, for all our benefit, for the future generations, Krishna gave us this Srimad Bhagavatam and filled Bhagavatam with everything connected to Krishna, with all his activities, right? So, on one side, with his beauty, physical beauty, he attracted the heart of many people. He attracted the mind of so many people. And through his words, he attracted their mind, right? So, plus, by him being present here, that bodham, consciousness, in that form while being present here, that in the human form, through various activities, he has attracted people during his time here. So, but those activities what Krishna has performed here at that time, through various great personalities, devotees and acharyas, through them, it was spread into this world and for the benefit of those who have come after his departure, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, right? And for whom? Like us, who are rotting in this world without any clear idea why we are here. Ignorance, basically. That's our state of current state, isn't it? Ignorance. We don't know why we are here, where we are going. For their benefit, to escape from that darkness, he kept the door open through Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna himself. Srimad Bhagavata Kyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mayavahi. Right? So, when all this is completed, now he is decided that in Yadava family should go by creating problem inside, among themselves, right? And this is spoken again and again in the Bhagavatam, that you did like this, that you destroyed your own people by creating problem inside, not from outside, within the family, created the problem and you destroyed them all, right? So, so basically what he's saying is, it was Krishna's sankalpa that it should happen like that, right? To make them to think like that. So, and it was Krishna's sankalpam that Rishi should curse them like that. That is also Krishna's sankalpam, to curse like that. Normally they wouldn't have cursed Krishna's children, would they? But what made them to think like that, to curse them? Because they were going to see Krishna, and you can't imagine that they will curse them and then go and see Krishna after that. They wouldn't have done that. But the fact that they have done that is Krishna sankalpam at that time, right? Why it is all that is, always to make aware that anything that has been created will be destroyed. Nothing will stay here. To get this concept in our mind, even if it is Krishna's children, they also will be destroyed one day, right? So, once we get that, then if you have understood this, I was saying this yesterday also, that it is, nothing is permanent here, it's all so temporary, but to get that understanding inside is very difficult. That takes a long time. It is not coming, we can talk about it, but to feel it, that inside, and to act like that in this world is very, very hard, right? But if you have understood this mausalam, this particular leela, the idea behind that is, right, everything that has created here will be destroyed, right? And that awareness is always important in life, for spiritual life. It is so important to know that, because if it is like that, if you are conscious of this, you won't get attached to anything excessively. Sangam won't happen. You can live in this world but not being attached to anything. But that's not happening though. Why it's not happening? Because it's not gone in. That is the proof of that. If you are living in this world with a lot of attachment, it means that this message hasn't gone in. That's what it is. Yeah. So, because once you know, if not today, tomorrow it's going to go, right? And if that has become clear in your head, how can you develop attachment to anything? If you are completely convinced on that, it's not going to stay. I'm going to die, all these things will be separated from me. What's the point in getting too much concerned about anything in this world? Is it not? That's what intelligence says, to think like that. But we are not convinced. That is the problem. That's what he's saying here. Right? So once you have become sure that it's all going to go one day, right, then you won't hold on to anything very strongly. You will let it go. There's no point in holding anything. It cannot stay. No matter how hard you try, it's not going to stay. But in our dream world, we have developed a certain understanding about this world, in our dream world. That's what Krishna is saying there. Suptasya vishayan logo dhyayadova manoratham. He says, that's your manoratham it is. It's not reality. It's your manoratham it is. Tadha bhedatmadirgunai, due to the modes of nature present in you, Krishna says. Right? So, if it doesn't happen, right, suppose I hold it very tight, and if it is leaves me, I'll make it more tight. You see children sometimes, they'll hold on to something. You tell them to give it, they won't give it. And if you try to forcefully pull it out from their hand, they'll hold it tight, more. They'll make it more strong. Difficult for you to take it out. So normally what mothers do, they change their mind, turn the page and say something else and lose their interest in this object. They take the knife sometimes. Child doesn't know about the knife, what damage it can do. So mother wants a knife back from the child's hand. So what does the mother do? Mother shows something else to lose the interest in the... Because if you ask the child to give the knife back, he won't give it. She will hold it very tight. So mother will use something else to get rid of that. Right? So we are also children. That is why they say, Rishi say, we are all bala. We are all children actually. From their point of view, we are children. Why? Because we hold on to this world so strongly. That's the reason why they say. Krishna calls us bala. You remember in the 19th chapter, Ashaskandam, Krishna says, Parasvabhava karmani, that verse, if you read that, you will find there. That balanam, he says. This is balas won't understand. Krishna says, we are children. Why? Because we are holding on to everything in this world so tight, when he keeps telling us everything is so temporary. That is why we are called bala. Balana manushasanam, he says. Balana manushasanam. Parasya, you'll see there in that 11:19, I think. So anyway, it is there. He calls us bala. We may be old by age, 70, 80, 90, but we are bala for Krishna. Why? Because of this nature in us, holding on tight to everything in this world. Children don't understand. We also don't understand. Children don't give the knife back because they don't understand how troublesome it is. We, even though we are 70, 80, we also are not understanding. Like children, we are holding on to everything, thinking that this will save us from the problems of life. So that is why he called that word balanam, right? So if we don't want that suffering to happen, you have to recognize this fact, what Krishna is saying, that this is a temporary business. Whole thing is a temporary affair. And once this temporary life is over, nobody is going to ask you anything. You won't be asking anybody anything. Today people will ask you, oh, you didn't do this, you didn't... Wife will say to husband, you didn't do this. Husband will say to the wife, you didn't do that. But once you're out of this show, you won't be disturbed. And you won't be able to disturb anybody. All that's over then. Up to that time you can argue and fight and quarrel everything. But after that, there's no fighting, quarreling, nothing. Everything over. Right? So, but to recognize this concept, what Krishna has said, very difficult for people, that everything is temporary. I can say this, but to really absorb it inside and to live that life is difficult. And that is why Krishna is saying that there is a certain stage in which you will understand spiritual life properly. It takes time for that. Whole life you have to pass through a different phases in life, and mature by the old age, you have to come to a certain stage where you will be ready to understand it properly. Up to that time, there's no point in telling a 20-year-old man or girl all these things. It would not work because it's too early for them. Very rare cases it may happen, but that's very rare. But ordinary people's case, it's... So what it is that... Parokshavado vedoyam balana manushasanam. That's right, yeah. That's the word. Paroksham adho vedoyam. Paroksham, everything is spoken paroksham, and it is for the balas like us to understand. He treats us like kids, isn't it? So, things what we hear, what we see through our eyes, shabdas, the five things, shabdas, prasharupam, rasam, gandham, none of them is real. That's the first thing. Everything what you are getting through your senses is not real. Remember? When Krishna says all these things, he says in one verse and he goes to the next one. But if you keep that one verse in front of you and think about it, where did he say this? In Ekadasham, you will see this. What did he say? If you look in the 11th canto, he says this, that it is the very end, he says, in a nice way he put it when he was leaving. He said that in the beginning also, and then the end also he repeated the same thing. Eleven seven. I'll tell you what. Whether I'm thinking what the verse was, he said that many ways he has spoken in different ways. In one place he said 11:7. If you look 11:7, mm-hmm. 11 he says, yeah, he says 7th verse 11:7:7. Yadidam manaso vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi Nashwaram Grihyamanamcha Vidhi Maya Manomayam. One verse. That's enough for you to sit and think for the rest of the life. That one verse is enough. Yadidam Manaso Vacha Chakshurbhyam Shravanadibi Nashwaram Grihyamanamcha Vidhi Mayamayam Manomayam. It is Mayamayam, it is Manomayam. All this so called happiness what you are getting from everything is completely based on your mind and completely based on Maya. That's what that verse is saying. Yadidam manaso vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi. Through all the five senses. Whatever you are getting here. And life is nothing but these five senses operating. So from that he began that. This is right in the Tomdu Sarvam Parityaja. Next verse it is. So he has spoken that. And later on also, in many places he say, Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajjade. Maam anusmarada maschittam mayyeva praviliyade. There's another beautiful verse. Yeah, Krishna says that. If you keep on pondering on the senses and sense enjoyment throughout life, eventually you will end up like that. And if you get absorbed in me, you will come to me, he says. That means talking about the soul and the body. If you get absorbed in the body, enjoying the body, and making arrangements whole life for the happiness of the body, and live like that, what will happen? You will get another body. That's what he's saying. You will get Vishayan dhyayadas chittam Vishayeshu vishajade Maam anusmaradas chittam Mayeva praviliyade. He says, if you get absorbed in me, you will become like me. Means you will become spiritual. Spiritual nature you will get back. Whereas if you get absorbed in the body, you will get another body. That's all. Simple thing. And then again he will say in other places, so many places, he keeps saying this, that concept is the same, but spoken in different verses. Right? For example, I think he says here, yeah. If you look into the 28th chapter, 11:28, he says, Ki badram kim abadram va, dvaidase vasuna kiyal, vachodidam tad anardam, manasadhyadam evacha. Another same thing, he's saying in a different way. He's saying to Uddhava, what is here badram and abadram? What is here right and wrong? Because all this right and wrong, what we say, we talk about other people, he has done the right thing and he has done the wrong thing. All what is right and wrong here, he said, ki badram kim abadram ba? Because everything here is dvaidam. Dvaidasya avastana kiyal. Vachodidam tanardam manasadhyatam evacha. Whatever you have spoken, and whatever you are doing is all based on your mental concoction. It's mental, it is coming from the mind, so it's not real. Mind is not real, so whatsoever comes from the mind is also not real. Vajodidam tad anardam manasadhyatam evacha. Like this, throughout the message is the same, but spoken in a different verses. That's all. So, what Krishna is saying here, that so. So, these five senses, through which we know this world, through which we are dealing with this world, right? All of them are doing exactly the same thing even though we think that they are doing different things. But actually they are not. Why? They are all bringing some experience to the mind. Through the ears, through the eyes, through the nose, through the tongue, like that. Right? So what he is saying is that this body and similarly all this world, what we are experiencing through the senses, is subject to change constantly. Right? And one day it will all disappear. Because when you leave this body, then the world what you are having gone, it doesn't exist anymore, isn't it? So that is why the seer is more important than what you see. What you see, what you are experiencing, right? So we should know this, what Krishna has spoken there, and should be able to keep always aware, one day this is all going to go. I know we are keeping on repeating the same thing. The reason for that is, even after repeating this, that's all you can do today. To develop this awareness inside strongly is very difficult. It's not so easy, right? But if you have got this fixed inside, this awareness inside fixed, right? Then you won't be fearful in life. You'll get freedom. To a large extent, you'll be free from the fear of life. Life is always fearful, isn't it? What will happen tomorrow? There is one hope. Even when you get sick, you can think like this. One day it will go anyway. It's not permanent. So that's a big relief, isn't it? Suppose you got sick. You got a stroke or you got cancer or anything. What is the answer? You got a stroke, nothing you can do. Doctors have said nothing we can do. You got the stroke. Okay, they'll give you all the statins and all that. But that's not going to solve the problem. You got sick, right? So then what is the best hope then? What is the answer then? The answer is this. It will go one day. It's not permanent. One day I will escape from this body. Same thing with cancer. Same with anything else for that matter. So that is what benefit of this. Knowing this inside will help at the old age, particularly when we live in so much fear about what's on the doorstep next going to come. So that moment, this realization is inside. You won't be too disturbed inside. That's the benefit from that. So, after saying this, he's saying that, but when you hear this, everything is going to go, or you get frightened. I'm going to lose everything, my car, my home, my family, my this, and including my body. But everything will go, that is the reality, and body will also go, and Krishna also has shown us through example. It will all go, right? So, as long as you are separated from all this reality in life, and if you are not able to think independently from this, without being attached to all these things, and able to think independently of this, till then you will have this fear. That means, if your mind is completely absorbed in the world, or in all the attachments, whatever we have, and in that stage it is very difficult to think this, because it creates fear. But if you are able to free yourself from all this reality and to think about it, then it will give you a lot of relief from that, right? Because once the body is gone, you are gone, isn't it? There's nothing left then. Your identity is gone with that. You are not that name, that form, what you are here, right? So, and we have got that fear inside. Apart from that, there's a lot of other things which I think is mine. That's the family extensions and the assets and property and wealth and bank balance and car and whatever it is, right? So, you are also thinking that I'm going to lose all that. I'm going to lose all that. So that bhayam, that fear is there. And only when this fear came to Vasudeva and Devaki, Vasudeva asked this question. Till then he didn't have this. Krishna was there all the time. So when Krishna was there, Vasudeva and Devaki didn't think like this. But when one day this fear came to Vasudeva's mind, Krishna is going. All the indications are like that. The fear came to Vasudeva's mind. So we should also think and understand this, that when Vasudeva got that fear, that only that day he received Narada Maharshi and wanted to ask him, what's this all about, this life? Is it not? Narada Maharshi was visiting Dwaraka very often. But when he says that, he will say some Guten Tag and go. Each other, they'll cross inside the palace. Then he never inquired anything from Narada Maharshi. He has come to see Krishna and he will go, I'm Krishna's father, why do I have to worry about anything? But when these signs came to Vasudeva and Devaki that Krishna is leaving and the whole thing is going to go, that triggered the inquiry strongly inside. And that is why when he saw Narada Maharshi that particular day, he received him very well, washed his feet and did everything to please him and told the Maharshi, I have some questions to ask. This is how this Niminavayogi Samvadam developed. Do you know that, don't you? Niminavayogi Samvadam just didn't happen like in a planned way. It all happened in a certain situations. The scenario behind that is this. When Vasudeva and Devaki felt it's all going to come to an end, he felt like asking this question. Till then he never asked. He met Narada Maharshi so many times before. He never asked this question to him. When he realized that it's all going to go, he felt like asking this. So that is the way the world works, right? So, and then if you are able, that is why this Niminavayogi Samvadam is so important in the Bhagavadam. Shiva Brahmarshi spoke about in the fifth canto itself. Do you remember? He said, about the children of Rishabhadeva, I will talk to you later in Ekadasha Skandam, he said, their glories about these nine yogis, Kavihari and all others, right? So, if you are able to listen to this Niminavayogi Samvadam very seriously and able to take it on board within ourselves, understanding it, right, life will become a lot easier to deal with this life, right? So, in the second chapter, in the beginning it was said that, you remember, Govinda Bhujaguptayam, Dwaraka which was protected by Govinda, that's how it says. Govinda Bhujaguptayam, Dwaravatyam Kurudvaha. Sri Narada Maharshi walks into Dwaraka which was protected by Govinda. Govinda Bhujaguptayam, with Krishna's hands it is protected. Right? So in such a place that that in that to that Dwaraka is Narada Maharshi is coming, right? And he will come and stay there. Who? Sri Narada Maharshi. He won't go. He will stay. Normally he was cursed by Daksha that he should not stay anywhere more than till the time only milking a cow you are allowed to stay. But that curse doesn't apply to Dwaraka. There he can stay as long as he wants. No curse is applied to Dwaraka because of protected by Krishna. That's why it is all said that. Sridhara Swami mentions that. He says these words were used for this reason, that Narada Maharshi could stay there all the time, not under the curse from Daksha. He could stay in Dwaraka. So that was the reason, right? So, so sometimes what used to happen was, Sri Narada Maharshi will come and stay. So Krishna will say to Narada Maharshi, when are you going? Are you not leaving now? He used to say like that. So you told me that you'll be leaving very soon. What's the plan? Normally your host don't ask the guest like that, isn't it? But Krishna used to ask, teasing him. Teasing Narada Maharshi like this. Sridhara Swami says this, that he used to ask like this to, Krishna used to say this to Narada Maharshi, like that. So Narada Maharshi used to answer that to Krishna. So I have come for another purpose now. Because he had come and gone only recently, then he has come back after a few days again. So Narada Maharshi used to say to Krishna, I have some other business to do, that's why I had come, right? And he won't leave. He will stay, some on pretext or the other, he will hang on to Dwaraka, right? So why? Krishna darshana lalasa. Krishna vasana lalasa. In being with Krishna and enjoying that association. Because you can imagine Sri Narada Maharshi won't talk to Krishna silly things. He was getting that spiritual strength from Krishna that was coming to Sri Narada Maharshi, so he would not leave. For that reason, Krishna vasana lalasa. That was the reason. This is why that first verse itself, Govinda Bhujaguptayam Dwaravatyam Kurudvaha. Krishna Darshana, Krishna Vasana Lalasa. Sridhar Swami says these things, right? So, because Krishna Upasana, so much interest in Narada Maharshi's mind, right? So, because Sri Narada Maharshi normally doesn't have any tension, isn't it? He has no tension and he travels freely all over the creation. He is free to travel. But still, being with Krishna was giving him some happiness. Even though he has no tension or stress, and he travels very freely all over the universe, still he likes to be with Krishna. Why? That association, Sadhu Sangham. That association with Krishna is Sadhu Sangham, Sal Sangham it is. That was giving him that much happiness for him, right? So, so that is why, if you look into that 11th canto, Narada Maharshi, who didn't have any stress or tension, he wanted to be with Krishna, right? If it is like that, right? People like us who are always stressed out, who are always in tension, what else should we be doing except taking Krishna shelter? That is the second verse, you see. Ko nu rajan indriyavan mukunda charanambujam na bhajet sarvado mrityu upasyam amarottame. Shri Narada Maharshi comes to Krishna for association. And Narada Maharshi doesn't have any stress. Still he comes. If it is like that, Rajendra is saying to, Shukabrahmashi is saying here, that Konu Raja Indriyavan Mukunda Charanambujam Na Bhajet Sarvado Mrityu Upasyam Amarottame. People like us who are exposed to death and who know very well death will come. Narada Maharshi doesn't have that fear about death. We have this fear of death. So, if Narada Maharshi, who has no fear of death, is coming to Krishna for association, he is saying here, is there anything else that human society has to do except to take Krishna shelter? Mukunda charanambujam na bhaje sarvado mrityu upasyam amarottamai. Sarvado mrityu. For us, it's always death from every side, any moment. What will happen? That fear. That's how we are living, isn't it? What will give trouble? Kidney, liver, heart, or whatever it is. Cancer, stroke, so many list of them. Which one is the next on the list? So that's how we are living here. Diabetes or whatever. Type 1, type 2, all kinds of types also in that. So all sorts of problems waiting there. And we are living with that stress. What he's saying here, Shukabrahmashi is saying here, that should they not, who is living so much fear, not take Krishna shelter? He's asking that in that second verse, right? So, so Krishna's lotus feet, which is worshipable for everyone, not only for us, even for the rishis, right? Who will not take shelter of those lotus feet? That's what he's saying here. So, because you can see here, we got a body like this, right? Somehow or the other, he dragged on through this world for 50, 60, 70 years without too much trouble. It survived this far. That's all you can say about this body. You can't give any guarantee on this body. Even doctors won't give you a guarantee on the body when they say anything, right? So, that body what we have got, with which we are carrying on our business here, whatever we are doing here, right? At the same time, full of anxieties in this body also. What can go wrong when? That's the only question, right? And that creates anxiety and fear in our mind. Such a person, how he will not take Krishna shelter? This is what he is asking. When a person is in this situation, with a body which has survived somehow here for some time, but which is causing a lot of anxiety for us for the future, should he not take Krishna shelter in this situation? What else can he do? Shukabrahmashi's words. Remember what Krishna said about this body, isn't it? You remember? Tavad Ishwarado Bhayam. When you have this body, there is always fear. Without fear, you can't exist in this body. Superficially you can say, I'm not fearful and all that, but that doesn't mean anything. Everybody is fearful about death, is it not? So it is unavoidable like that. You will see, Krishna says, you're like a, you know, but all these things what Krishna is saying is not getting in us, inside us. We are not acting like that, are we? We are thinking, oh, Katha is over, now I go back and do what I'm doing. It's not happening, that change. That's what he said there. You remember in that verse, when he said in the 10th, I think it is in the 10th chapter, where he said that you are ready like an animal for slaughter. Which is the 10th verse. 10th is it?
10th chapter, 33.
Yavat asya asvatantam. Yeah, yavat isharado bhayam. Right? And he is saying here that, what is that? You remember there is a verse where he said that you are, yavat asya asvatantam. What are you talking about your freedom? Krishna is asking us. What freedom have you got? Yavadisal asadandatum tavad isharado bhayam. Ya edan sambhavasiram ste mukhyanti sucharpidaha. Yavasyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatum alpana nanatum atmano yavad paradandrim tadevahi. He says your bondage is due to gunavaishamyam. Yavasyal gunavaishamyam means when you are under the clutches of modes of nature, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. It is due to that we see this world in many forms. We see so many people exist here, so many jivas, so many living entities, so many different bodies, and so many various wall exist, house exist, forest exist, animals exist. This variegatedness is due to the three modes of nature. Yavatsyal gunavesh, that's called gunaveshamyam. Tavan, because of that nayanatvam, has come to the self. We are experiencing this nayanatvam, variegatedness. Nanatvam altmano yavat paradandram tadevahi. The moment nanatvam comes in the self, you are under bondage. Paradandram. Nanatvam altmano yavat paradandram tadevahi. Till you come to realize that everything is Krishna, everything is spiritual, everything is soul, atma, bodham, awareness, brahmam, which we, then, till then you have this bondage. That means self-realization. Yeah? But prior to that is Krishna said there, if you look at line 20, verse 20, that is the best of all. Where he is saying there, konyartha sukhayatyenam kamo va mrtirandige akhatam niyamanasya vadyasevana tushtida. 19th verse, yadi praptyam vikhadam cha janandi sukadukhayoho te pyadhana viduryogam mrtirna prabhavediyada. Death is waiting for everybody, right? And he is saying, when death is waiting and you are saying you want to enjoy here, what can you enjoy? Krishna is asking us this question. You say you want to enjoy here in this life. What do you want to enjoy? The death is waiting there. They give this example like in the olden days when they had this hanging thing when prisoners were hung. So that time, normally it's done in the early hours in the morning. In America they still have that. Mostly it's done in the early hours in the morning. So the night before, the judge tells the policeman or whoever is prison officers, right? Ask him if he has got any desire. Because next day morning he is going, isn't it? Some people, whether he want to have it. If he wants to eat anything particularly, we'll arrange that for him. Next morning he is going. So Krishna is saying the same thing in a different way. He is saying, you are talking about your happiness in this world. Murti is waiting there. And aghadam niyamanasya vadyasevana tushida. You are waiting there like a goat or a sheep for slaughter. We are all like that, is it not? Ready for the slaughter. And you are talking about enjoying this life here. This is Krishna's question to us. Koinvartham. What meaning has it got, he is saying here. So we read all this in the Agadisham, but nothing is changing in us. That verse is also forgotten. Konartha sugametyanam kamava mrtirandike aghadam niyamanasya vadyasevandushya. Krishna saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, such a person who is ready for slaughter, what will be his state of mind? He will probably say, instead of hanging me in the morning, can you do it right now? Because at least till tomorrow morning I don't have to wait. with this thought in my head that I'm going to be hung. That's what he will say. You don't have to give me any feast or any other happiness. I'm not asking for anything. But instead of doing it in the tomorrow morning, can you do it right now and finish this business? Because I'm going to be hung anyway. So what's the point in another 12 hours of suffering like that? This is what he will say, isn't it? So same way, our life also is like that. Only difference is, instead of, it's not been told yet when, but it will be one day. So with that in the background, Krishna's point is, how are you trying to enjoy this world and holding on to everything so tight and thinking this is mine and that's yours and all those things? Where is this all coming from? So Krishna is saying everything for our understanding, but we are not able to agree with Krishna on all these things. We find it difficult. We say, yes, theoretically you are right, but practically it's not possible, we say. That's our answer to this. We say to Krishna, theoretically you are right, but practically it's not possible. So that is what in the 10th chapter Krishna is talking. Why it's not practical? The reason for that. That's the 10th chapter. So, having said that, right, so, what we have to, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here, that from the very beginning itself, Bhagavatam is in this direction. You have noticed that, is it not? With Parikshit it started. The same situation. Parikshit was exposed to death, is it not? So, beginning of Bhagavatam is also the same philosophy. What Krishna is saying in the Ekadashi to Uddhava, in practical level it started like that, in the beginning itself, right? What did Parikshit say? One who is supposed to be dead, one is facing the death, what should he do? This was the question. So you can see Bhagavatam's message is very clear, that come to the reality, come to the real world, and don't live in your dream world. That's the answer to this. Unless you come out of the dream world, you won't understand Bhagavatam. You can keep reciting and memorizing all the verses and everything, but till this message gets in, you haven't got Bhagavatam inside. Come to the real world, that's what Krishna is saying. In Parikshit, example began like that with Parikshit, that he understood this straight away. When that boy cursed him, Sringi, Parikshit got the message, it's over, it's all over. And he ruled the whole planet. We are with our terrace house. We are so attached to that. Parikshit was owning the whole planet. And he was able to give it up in 7 days and walk out from that. We find it difficult. So this is how the deep the attachment is inside. So, Shukha Brahmarshi told him, there's only one thing you have to do. Once you are clear in your head that the death is coming, then the only thing is to become attached to the truth, who is the Satyam, isn't it? Krishna, Satyam, get attached to that. That's all you have to do. And remember him. Remember? Shodavya kirtidavyascha smartavyascha chadabhayam. Right? Hear about him and glorify him. Kirtidavyascha. And remember him. That's all you have to do. Once you have got this message, the death is on its way. And you accepted this what Krishna has spoken, right? Or Shukha Brahmarshi has spoken. Once you have really experienced and accepted it, really accepted it, then all you have to do is these three things. Shrodavya, Kirtidavyascha, Smartavyascha, Chadabhayam. And with that fear will go, he said. Right? So, and for that he said, bring your hands and legs and eyes and ears, everything to serve him at that moment. Right? That's the only option, he said. There's no other option. Right? So, actually, Krishna has given us this body and put us in this condition. Right? Just like a test. See how you perform through this body. Right? So, and he gave us a lot of things also with that. In the form of wife and children and money and property and all other things. Krishna has put us in this body and threw us in the middle of this world and gave us a lot of facilities also along with that, right? And this is all yours, he said. You can have it. And he gave it to us, right? And then he told us, after so many years you will die also. And then he wants to see how you are doing with the things, life. He gave you everything, and he also told you, these things he has told us already, isn't it? He has already told us. He gave us everything, and he has told us also, after that one day you have to leave also everything and die. And then he is looking at us and see how we are going to conduct yourself in this world, right? So, but it is definite you will die, but how long you are allowed to enjoy all these things, don't know, right? So it is in this situation that we are living in this world. This is the reality. Krishna has brought us here, left us in this body, in this world, in certain situations, with certain facilities, amount of cash enough to live on, and some other thing, happiness, in name of happiness, other things as well. And then he also told us, same Krishna is saying to us, Kamava mrityurandike, akhadam niyamanasya, vadya sevana tushtita. The one who has done all these things is also telling us, you are like ready for slaughter. And he has not told us the date exactly, of course, he hasn't told us that. But he has very clearly told us, you are like the ready for the slaughter. And there is no rule in this, first come, first go and all that. There is no such rule. Anybody can go any time from here. That's the way he has put it. Krishna has spoken like that, right? So, but even though all these things are reality is like that, how do we live, right? We want to achieve a lot of things in this world, is it not? Acquire a lot of things, position, name and fame, followers, all sorts of things. And that, why is that? Why is that? That is called Maya. That's called Maya. The fear of death, in spite of that standing in front of us, that come, will hit us one day, we are still able to do all other things, our attachment and our desires is driving us, right? In this process, while living like that, little fear is coming now and then, anxiety. It comes and it goes, it comes and it goes, that you all have experienced, isn't it? Sometimes children bring problem, sometimes wife brings problem, sometimes husband brings problem, sometimes you get sick. All these are different fears, comes at different time, what will happen? And then after some time it goes away. So throughout life, there is nothing but fear at every step in life, right? So some of them like that, some people come to you in your life, they stay with you for some time, and after some time they leave you. When they come, you welcome them wholeheartedly, say, oh, you're all mine, we're all together in it, aren't we? But and then throughout life you are thinking, when will they leave me? Will they go? Will they go? And that way your mind goes in another way. You start become fearful about that, right? So, so that is what life is, basically. And throughout life, there's only time for experiencing this misery and fear. Misery means crying about life, all these things, what happened in life, this didn't go well, that didn't go well, this didn't happen, that didn't happen, he didn't listen to me. All kinds of issues about everybody, we have got problems in this world. And this way the life passed on, and at the same time, fearful about death also, and everything. So, that is life, right? And that's what we enjoy, this life. With all this, we love it, to be like this, forever. And then finally, householder sits in his chair, in his relaxed mood, and he says, after all, this is life, isn't it? That's how we find shelter. We become very philosophical at the very evening, late in the evening. After going through whole misery throughout the day, Krishna has never said life has to be like this. That's the most interesting side of it. Krishna is saying, this is not even life. That's what he is saying to us, right? So, Vasudev's question, now I'm coming back to the message, proper message. Vasudev's question was that it is a good fortune to get to see great personalities like you. He is saying to Narada Maharshi. He was seeing him all the time, but never he felt Narada Maharshi is a great personality. But this time he felt Narada Maharshi is a great personality. And he's saying to Narada Maharshi, it's only my good fortune that I was able to see you, he says, to him, right? So when he says, when he says that, you remember that verses, if you look, you will see when they meet each other, how this conversation began, right? So normally in our mind, karma is the main thing in our head, isn't it? So different karma projects, we call it as project, what is coming through our head. And when you are engaged in your project executions, different project executions, and you have plans, these are the results that will come from these projects, what I am going to do, right? In when that is in your mind, on top of the list, when you see a personality like Sridharta Maharshi, you won't feel like asking these questions, would you? Would you? You won't ask. It won't come in your mind. Your mind is filled with your projects and execution of the projects and the profit that's going to come. That's the karma what does to us. Karma will never allow you to ask such a question. Even if you get to see Narada Maharshi in front of you, you won't ask this question. So that is what was happening here, that to get to associate with Narada Maharshi, who is so close to Krishna and able to able to see them itself, is a great fortune to get to see Narada Maharshi, right? And these are personalities who by their very presence purifies the whole world, right? And to get to see them itself is very difficult. And you may get to know many, many people in this world who are engaged in spiritual life, but among them also to get to see somebody like Sri Narada Maharshi is extremely difficult, right? So that is where the difference is. The difference is this. There are many people, yogis, jnanis, all in this world, but to get to see a devotee like Narada Maharshi, who is very attached to Krishna and whom Krishna has given all knowledge of bhakti, that's why he wrote Bhakti Sutram, and get to see him and to know him is a great fortune. And that is a very rare thing, right? And why so rare? Because he is so pure. Who? Sri Narada Maharshi is so pure at heart. That is why, right? So, and not only that, he is compassionate to everyone. Whomever has get to know Narada Maharshi, whoever had association with Narada Maharshi, they were all, one day or the other, went back to the spiritual world. Nobody stayed here. Whether it is Prahlada, or Dhruva, or Prajedas, or the, Shablashwa, Harishwa, all of them. Anyone and anywhere, and you look, Vritrasura, Gopis, everybody, they've all gone back at the end, isn't it? So, to get to have association like Sri Narada Maharshi, Chitragetu including, went back, right? So, Vasudeva is asking this question, that how come you are so free from tension? You don't have any tension, right? Vishado bhayad, sarvado bhayad, those verses he has used. Because normally, all I have is only fear. Nothing else in life. I live in fear. Vasudeva is saying now. He's become fearful basically. He has come like us. Vasudeva has become fearful. He started seeing that this is not permanent. This setup in Dwaraka is not permanent. It's going to go one day. And when he realized, he became fearful. That's why all the questions are coming from Vasudeva and Devaki. So I think we'll stop there today. We'll continue on the 21st of December here for 12 days. That will be the next program. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.